United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who're supposed to be preaching are no.
World, so FM, AM 600, and I hope you're having a good day today. It is the ninth, my goodness, of April, and Dr. Brandy is on the wrong day at the right time because this is the time that she's scheduled. But Dr. Brandy's in studio with us, and so is Six. You guys know she usually comes in on Thursday, but yes. She had some conflicting schedules, and then this is her first time being here in 2014.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I hear congratulations are in order.
Yeah, we had babies, everything.
Yeah, he's almost 6 months.
I mean, you haven't been here like in 6 months. I have had no.
Been that long?
Yes. We've had 7 months.
Oh, my God.
How long were you off from maternity leave?
3 months.
Okay, that's three, and this is the fourth. So you've been off, it's been 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have had no therapy.
I'm sorry, Tracy. I'm here for you now.
Yeah, okay.
I'm back at it.
Let me tell you what's going on in my life.
Okay.
It's really crazy. I've got to be putting up with Six and Jeff and Ben and everyone. Oh, Eric. We got a new one named Eric.
Yeah.
We got Eric. I've been putting up with all these people, and I've had no therapy.
Oh, my gosh. Surrounded by all these men, and you've got nobody to help you.
Absolutely. And
wait a minute. No.
Just
four to one. It's three to four.
Oh, my.
When there's four of us in here and her, because women are all tripolar. We've already declared.
Have you heard that?
Tripolar?
Yeah.
Is it a new? Have you just given us a new mental health diagnosis?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh no.
They said women are three.
Three.
We have three different personalities.
Okay, I need to understand this.
Yeah, explain.
Any man who's lived with a woman knows that she's got three personalities.
Uh-huh.
What are they?
There's the one she takes to work. The one she has with the children, and the one she has with her husband.
Well, that's just how we have to live because you guys won't let us act right.
We'll let you act right?
Right.
Wait a minute. What it should be is
you ought to go out and do everything and then make it to where we can stay home, serve on boards, take care of our children, and go shopping.
Well, that's the way it used to be before we had feminism.
That's because you abused it.
No, that's because I got to play that clip of...
Men abuse the privilege of having women at home.
You know, it's interesting that this topic comes up.
Okay.
And I usually don't get into what's in the media, but lately I've caught a little bit of TV here or there, and it looks like they're really focusing this week, or maybe it's just locally, on the gender gap, the pay.
No, they're doing that all over the country.
Is it everywhere? Okay.
Everywhere.
I don't talk about politics or what's going on, but this seems to tie in where, you know, women in the workforce and... But you have the parenting
equal
role
pay.
And you're a spouse and equal pay and you're running. And, you know, a lot of the conversation is that women truly can do things more efficiently in less time than men
but
can do.
We don't
have a choice.
But my wife never made, when I was working in a factory, my wife never made the money I made. It's never made the money I made.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't work the hours. She doesn't work in the same conditions.
But she does when she goes. So there are a lot of women now working in the factory.
Yeah, they
but they're still not. They're still
Tracy,
not working
Tracy.
In some of the. In,
yes, they
in,
are.
In the.
Yes, they are. They're working in some crazy stuff that you would
and
never.
And if they're working in those conditions, they're making the same money.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
No, they're not. You,
let's
and,
get,
no,
let's
no,
get
no,
somebody
no.
from 396.
No,
up
let,
here.
Let, let's really be real about this. You guys think that the world sits on your shoulders, and it doesn't. Women are not treated equally, and I'm a Republican, and I'm a woman, and I will tell you that we don't get the same treatment when it comes to money, when it comes to respect, and when it comes to access and elevation. The things that men get away with, women never get away with.
I don't remember a union contract
Tracy,
I ever worked
Tracy.
Under that said the difference between man or woman.
What, Alabama?
I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, I don't know one civilization women have built, number one. Number two, if you want to really be real, get out of home. If you want to be real, then stop expecting treat for being a lady. Get your butt on the front line, die for wars, stop asking men to open doors for you. You want equal treatment when they're just for like degrees, like education, like experience. Women are like 3% less. I'm so
let
sick of
this.
It's like
you.
They just use
let
the
me, let me really get you, let me set you straight. One, you don't want to open doors for women. No, you don't want to open the car door. You don't want to take care of the whole family. And I'm talking about you personally. But the mindset of males today.
Look,
and when we go to work,
something.
No. Listen, y'all don't
want
to say
mindset all you want.
You don't want to change diapers. You don't want to go to PTA. You don't want to deal with teachers. You don't want to deal with the kids when they're all crazy.
You want to pay the mortgage, pay the bills, give you the rest of our checks, and you go shopping at the mall. We make more money than you. Y'all got all the stores in the mall. Why is that?
Because
women are selfish. You taught to be selfish. That's the bottom
we're
line.
We're not selfish.
I will say this, though.
Women are taught to be selfish. Hold on, Steve. Hold on, Steve. Why are 80% of, if we make more money than y'all, why are 80% of the stores in the malls geared towards women?
Because men don't like to shop.
Oh, we don't like to shop, huh? No, we give you money for sex. That's the bottom line.
Dr. Brandy.
Right. I don't know. I'm going to have to strongly disagree with this. I know plenty of professional women. I've earned their doctorates with me who have very high positions in agencies and in academic positions and bring home equal pay, if not more pay, than their spouses, and they raise their children and they cook the dinners and they go to the gym and they run circles around the people in their lives, and they may make the same amount of money, they may make less money. I don't know, but I certainly think that women are active contributors to today's society and to their families.
And a lot of us. And then to be fair. But see, Stick said if you do the same job, the women don't get paid less, and that's not true. And I'm sorry that you
I've never worked. I've never seen a union contract that didn't say man makes this and women make that.
But most jobs are not
union. Women make 3 to 5%.
Hold on, Alabama. Alabama, hold up. Most jobs are not union.
Right. But
most jobs are not.
Most of the industrial type jobs are still.
Let me say this, but Sticks, we're not really talking about industrial type jobs. We're talking about jobs where you go to work at a regular place. And you do the same job as a woman, and there's no union there. We're not talking about union jobs. We're not talking about General Motors working on the line. We're talking about people who have gone. Let me finish. People who have gone to school, got their degrees, and are working as professionals, doing the same job, even inside of our government. It doesn't get the same amount of pay. They will give.
I think it's overblown.
It's overblown.
It's skewed.
If you listen to what they did was they didn't take into account.
That's why they compared
a secretary to a bricklayer.
Listen, that's why they say Republicans they hate women, because you guys don't listen.
No, look at the White House. What was the excuse Carney used yesterday when they hit him up about the White House? Because the White House pays a woman 85 cents for every dollar they pay a man.
And what did he say?
He said, well, that's because women are in lower paying positions.
Again.
And men are in senior positions.
Is it true?
You've got more women housekeepers than you'd have men housekeepers in the White House.
But listen, but when it comes to the professional jobs, whether it be clerical, administrative assistant, all those kinds of things, trust me, when
I'm
we
not
say
scared.
This. Women
want it both ways, Tracy. You want to be okay. You want to be the nurturers, but the men are builders, and then we're better builders than you. And
guess
it's
what?
Like you want it
Tracy.
Both ways.
I
you want to get everything
to
on your side.
Tracy,
you want every,
Tracy.
Hold on, let me make a point.
Hold on, Stanley.
It's like with women. What I've noticed, men are builders. You want to look at what happened if the women run the society? Look at the black community. That's what we're going to. Right there, the whole country's gonna go to that. If you don't look, there are certain roles in certain areas. Nobody's better than anybody. We need each other. They're both you got the positive and negative energy. They need each other. But don't just sit up here and try to make it like America's become so feminized and so pro-woman to where men get beat up all a bunch of cowards. Women just run society. And now you got these women out here really think they can do everything a man do, and you can't. Go out there and play football. Go out there and give us sports and entertainment.
Listen,
I get tired of it.
When you look at, I'm talking about just professionally, let's not even, just come out of labor, hard labor jobs. And I have Dr. Randy in here from Turning Point Counseling, which is a behavioral health. The pressures that go on women because, and now don't get me wrong, because of, you know, the women's rights movement.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we opened the conversation joking about tripolar.
Uh-huh.
And I get it. Like, I'm lighthearted with stuff like that. That doesn't personally offend me. But we label women. We diagnose women. We place high expectations upon women. I mean, that starts to affect a woman's psyche.
I'm not gonna argue with anybody. When I was in the factory and my wife was home with the children, I'll admit it. She got the short end of that stick. That was a much tougher job than I had.
But we didn't appreciate it when we were there.
I did.
My wife
told me more than one time that she appreciated, because I would watch the kids while she went grocery shopping.
The majority of the men treated their women like a property.
But Tracy, I'm listening
yes.
to what you're saying.
Hi, good morning, Stanley.
Hi, good morning. The problem I feel in our generation, and I have to agree with, South, it's like we are...
That's Alabama.
Before Alabama, sorry, I have to agree with Alabama. We used to treat like women like crap, but now we're reversing the role. We're treating men like crap. And either of them is not good. We live in a generation when men, the respect that we used to have with men, it's gone. It's all about women power, women this, women that. But when us as men, we stand up, and we are going to stand up one point. One point, men are going to get fed up because we're the one who's taking a risk. It could go all the way from divorce. It could go all the way from we don't have any rights as men for birth. We don't have any rights. We don't have any rights for marriage. We don't have any rights for many things that you women fought. But if your role was reversed and we would put you in our shoes for one day, you wouldn't want to be in our shoes.
Stanley,
it goes all
listen.
The way. It goes all the way. Let me finish this because I read a book on this. It goes all the way, and there's a great book that talks about it. And you should invite that person. It talks about men and strikes, and it talks about marriage. It talks about college. It talks about all the stuff that you fought that you don't see in the other side. That's wrong. In the other side, you used to have no power. Now you have all the power in the world. And you're surprised that men are standing up and saying, no, that's not fair, too.
Stanley, you're right. We don't respect each other's gender. But as I talk about racism and as I talk about, you know, gender, the problem is we won't be honest because there is a problem. There's a problem with race in America. There's a problem with gender in America. And there's a problem with age in America, and it's all called discrimination. It is not equal. And I'm not going to sit here and say, I don't care how conservative I am, I'm not going to make up a new lie.
Women's discrimination is the smallest
hold on,
form
hold
of
on.
Disdain towards another person in this country.
Pardon me, what'd you say, Alabama?
I said women being treated unfairly. If you got a big butt and a pretty face, you can get whatever you want. Like, y'all need to stop it with this women. We need more rights. Every small segment thinks they need more. Asians, Korean, everybody think they're getting picked on. Everybody's self-think they. I'm just saying. There's real discrimination.
That?
Oh, no. There's real discrimination. You can't compare women being sexism against women against black race. You can quantify it through the jail system. You can quantify it through economics. You can't quantify with women, when you look at economics and you adjust for like experience in education, it comes out to be 4 or 5% less. What
Alabama,
are you complaining about?
Alabama, do you really believe that?
Well, you may not believe it. That's what it is.
Listen.
Look, feminists
no.
are saying this.
Listen, women are having a hard time. Listen, women.
Well,
listen, let me finish. Hold on. There are women out there, and there are women out there who are overcoming the obstacles at a sacrifice. It is really true. And men, and we have created a mess here because we have blurred the lines of gender and what people do. You know, I think there was a baseball player who got in trouble the other day because he decided not to go to a baseball game because his wife was having a baby. And he stayed.
It wasn't so much that. It was he took 3 days off.
So what? It was his child, it was his wife, and it was his family, and they should come first. Bottom line.
I agree.
But they got upset because
but you got to remember, see, athletes are in a form of warrior class.
Don't change.
Because you didn't take 3 days off when I was in the service.
When I was in the service, you
didn't take 3 days off.
Guess what? And when you were making babies, you didn't stay in the delivery room either.
Yeah.
You guys stood outside and
Well, actually,
and
I was underway, but no, you could have been in the delivery room.
You didn't have to deliver the baby.
I mean, you have to realize today, when I was born, men stood outside.
Right.
They were never
but when,
in the, they
but
were
when
never
my wife
in the,
and I had our children
but
the man was invited into the delivery room.
But now he's not invited, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
There is no
cuz
I passed out when my daughter was born.
I'm just saying he's there.
So you're telling me that the legal system's not geared towards women right now? If a woman puts her hand on a man, nothing's going to happen to her.
Alabama, let a guy whip a woman and watch what happens. Will you hold up? Yes, when it there are certain, there you've heard me say this. There are a lot of laws out there that are not equal towards men, that are not fair. Child support is one of them.
Divorce is one of them also, Tracy.
I mean,
because
you know,
as a man,
It depends. It depends on what it is. But when we talk about women in the workplace and women as professionals, it is absolutely not equal. And we're not talking about who has the best sex. We're talking about what really happens in the workplace. Women are not treated fairly. They're not treated equally, and they do not get paid the same. Now, I don't like...
Okay, well, tell me one segment that's fair, been treated fair. Name me one.
None. But men, white men always get theirs.
But it's a dominant society. I'm talking about outside of them.
They own the businesses. Alabama.
They own the business. Of course they're going to be treated fair. They own it.
Don't hate me because I came up with an answer. And what we're saying is...
I don't hate you. I'm telling you, outside of white men, you can't name nobody else.
And what I'm saying is, if you don't want to fight for what you think you deserve, women are. Because when they go to work, they believe they should get paid a fair wage and should be equal to their counterparts.
I believe in fighting. I just believe in owning my... I believe in owning my own, having my own power, money, and influence like I talked about yesterday.
Okay, let me say it this way. You're right. But let me say it this way. Even as a minority, even as a black male, even as a female... When you go into the workplace or you're going to have your own business, things are still not fair when it comes to your business versus a white male-dominated business. Huh. You would think it would be, but it's not. Hi, Dr. Brandy.
Hello.
How you doing today?
I am good.
You started this, so don't.
I'm sorry. Well, you know what? I did start it because it's close to my heart. And when I was in school, I studied women in leadership. I spent a lot of time reading books on feminism. I feel that we have never restabilized from that movement. Women fought hard for equality, and we did in some ways want it all, but we still haven't really restabilized and figured out a balance, and we haven't really achieved full equality. You know, money would agree on.
How does that work with women and their mental stability?
And that's where this all ties in. You know, we start to pathologize women because, you know, oh, that you can't balance this, or you're a little bit too happy about that, or, you know, Sticks brought up a personality at work, a personality at home. That is very true. Women going into a meeting have to tweak their personality to go into that meeting and to gain respect and to be looked at as a professional, where you could go home and socialize a little bit differently among your peers. We're constantly trying to balance out who we are and what we do to fit the environment that we're in. And it seems like regardless of the steps that we take, we haven't achieved full equality in the workforce.
And we have to.
And we need to. And I guess I would be curious to hear people's suggestions for how
to do that. But how can women expect to create, to have full equality in the workforce when they pop in and out of it to have children?
Ooh, did he say that?
I'm serious. If you're
saying, you want to know what's
look
interesting?
At my, no. We'll take my daughter, for example. She's an engineer.
Hold on.
So say she works, gets her PE. She works 6 or 7 years, gets her PE,
mm-hmm.
professional engineering license.
Yes.
And she decides to take 6 or 7 years off to have children.
Mm-hmm.
When she comes back into the workforce, she's not going to be at the same level that a man that never walked out of the workforce for those six
That's
or seven
not true.
How do you know that? When I was at home for 3 months, I published a book chapter. I stayed actively engaged in my profession. I raised my child. I taught 2 classes online still.
But that's 3 months. That's
involved.
Not years.
Okay.
That's anecdotal. That's anecdotal. If you take
and
that's you
and
at
and
home.
And I haven't even got
Hold on. Well, hold on, Mike. I mean, I'm just saying. And you say that, but remember, women are different than men. Because remember, while you're working, remember that kid's not talking. The kids we're watching them. We're doing other things.
Oh,
No.
I'm not
see,
saying
that. And I said, well, you said, well, they're behind us.
I think the hand that rocks the cradles rules the world. Well, I think that's the most important job on the planet.
But when I come back to work, I'm still just as good as you, if not better, because I can multitask a whole lot better than you ever can.
But with changing technologies, have you kept up with the technology?
That is none of your business if I'm better than you at what I do.
But if you've been out of the workforce that long, you're not going to know.
But that's
for example, in my daughter's line of work. If she would take off 7 years unless she's actively engaged, when she walks back into workforce, the software has changed so much. She's not going to know.
Unless she stayed up on her craft.
Right. I mean, there's an assumption that in that 7 years that she didn't do anything.
All she did was play mommy. And that's not always true. And what we do is when we come back to work, hold on, when we come back to work, they don't quantify what I've done while I'm off. What they say is there's no way that you could have done this with not being here.
Well, I've been listening for a while. Real great discussion. Well, first of all, the doctor said something interesting. She said women are more efficiently in business. Being efficient and working with efficiency is the core of business. And she's saying women are more of that. I mean, that's, I mean, saying that they should run every business in this country. And I think it's a balance. We as men and women, we are both builders. Men don't just build. See, that's the problem. We're going through power struggles. But I agree with Alabama. If women want to make the same amount of money, us men will not pick up the box on the job for them.
We don't ask you to pick up the box on the job for you.
What I'm saying, Tracy, in this movement, men, we have our complaints. We have to step back and say, what traditional things that we're doing to keep us going through this struggle? Because you cannot deny some traditional values is keeping us in this power struggle.
Let me say this. Hold on, I got to push the segment because I got another guy coming in. Let me really say this. While I'm at work, I don't need you to pick up my box. I need you to pick up my box when I date you and when I marry you. I need you to pick up what's going on around the house at home. I don't need for you to pick up at work, because when I go to work, I'll pick up my own stuff, do my own job, and get my own way.
So women should have the same physical standards for every job that men do.
Absolutely.
Or they shouldn't be hired.
So, I disagree when they try to make things gender neutral. If you're going to have a standard, keep it that standard, and if that woman can fit that standard, be it. But now you're trying to kind of downgrade a standard to make something.
I'm not downgrading the standard.
I'm not trying to say you, but I'm saying in some laws they try to downgrade certain standards to make it gender neutral.
I'm just saying. I mean, you've heard me say this. If I'm on the fourth story of a burning building, I don't want no woman coming to bring me downstairs. You bring me a big husky man up there that can throw me over his shoulders and
Tracy,
walk down the
steps.
If you
were a fireman, Tracy, would you think you would want you coming?
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I want, what Six said, I want an equal standard, and I want you to achieve. If I don't care if there's a fire, if a man or woman saves me, but you better have passed your physical exam.
And be able to carry me down those four flights of stairs over your back.
It hasn't been too long ago there was a case where a woman fireman actually drugged somebody down a set of stairs because they couldn't pick her up.
Again, like I said, if you can't pick me up, then we got a problem. And that's what I'm saying, and that's just how I feel about it. Now, maybe I'm a little bit old-fashioned, but I don't think women should be doing everything. I've told you guys, I don't think we ought to be on the front line.
You said things. There's a difference between the way you want treated at work and the way I want treated at home. I mean, those are complete differences. I don't expect you to do anything for me at work.
Listen, I got to shift gears because we got another guest coming on. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you're here, Alabama. You got a lot of questions for this guy. I know you do.
I'm going to take a break really quick, and when we come back, Randy, you're going
to
stay with us for the rest of the
next
show.
Lead the mic over to disprove
your point while you're gone.
You can disprove my point while I'm gone. Listen, I got a guest sitting in the waiting room, so be nice while you're there. Don't talk about me too bad. Would you listen to Tracy?
Hey, Alabama.
Yeah, man.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Yo,
what's up?
I agree with you, man. I agree with you so heartily. It's like...
But Alabama, we need to take more responsibility, us as men, too. See,
how can we take more responsibility when women don't even know the word responsibility?
No, you can't say that, man.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 3-2-5. Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 3-2-5.
Okay, you're telling me that I can't say that. Okay, let me give you a perfect example. If a mother, if a single mother brings up a kid and he does everything right, what do you think the single mother is going to see? Oh, look at my child and this and that. But let's say she brings up a kid and the kid is everything wrong and becomes a criminal or something, she will not take responsibility that she brought up that son or daughter at all. She'll blame the father, she'll blame anybody, but she won't even look at herself and say, you know what, I made the choice to become a single mother, I made the choice to bring a kid in, and I made the choice to push the father away, and I made the choice, and I was responsible for the way my son was brought up in this world.
Right, some fathers would do the same thing.
Well,
a lot of people won't admit their mistakes. Even people who have been divorced without single mothers, they don't admit their mistakes. You have a lot of people that don't admit their problems, sir. I understand what you're saying,
though. Baltimore, look here, man.
So we need to take a responsibility.
To sit up here and say men are doing their job, I wouldn't say that. But what I'm saying is, nobody's really checking women at all, right? Guys,
exactly.
We've been
checking the women
since the 80s. But the women, nobody said nothing to these women that's on Mari Povich with 8 different baby daddies and neither one of them fathers. I'm just saying, man, like that has been going on for at least 2 and 3 decades now. Women have been going in on men since Color Purple. It's just bad. And women don't, nobody checks women on their men. Nobody.
It's like Baltimore.
Right.
You're standing up like men shouldn't have any standard in life. I'm sorry, men don't have standards.
No, I'm not.
Because Baltimore, let me just check on you that. Because men are accepting to get married to a woman, and a woman has total power. Once you sign that paper, the woman can gain weight, the woman could stop having sex with me, the woman could decide to do 200 things, and there's nothing as a man you can do.
But see, I agree with you, and I just want to say this real quick. I agree with you, but there is no balance. No one should be a henpecked. But then when you have this society that men's supposed to rule, women's supposed to submit, that's why you have this power struggle. You haven't forgotten about this. This has been going on since many years now, since ancient of time.
My thing is this. A woman can get a guy's sperm and live off it for 20, 30 years. A guy, all he's going to get is a nut, and he threw. So there's a difference with a man and a woman. Like, people act like women, and women know this. They know the game. They play the game, but then they want to act
I want fair rights.
I want equal pay.
Okay.
I want this.
Okay, so listen. I got 2 sons, right? So, listen, I agree with you. Once we ejaculate in them, they have all the power. But if we know that, us as men, we got to know that if we got a woman pregnant, it was our fault, too. See, what I'm saying
No. Baltimore, if they want equal rights,
go ahead. You have to take a responsibility of who you ejaculate in. That's all I'm saying, people.
I agree, because when you're a college athlete, you get whatever booty you can get. You get to the NBA, it's quality women out there. So that's why a lot of them get hemmed up, because they're not accustomed to sleeping with those type of women. So they get out there and they lose their mind.
But the thing is,
these women would not, it's like women are ruining this street because they're getting too much, it's not balanced anymore. There was a point where you were right that women were getting just dogged out. But now, it's not like that, and women are just eating in the right.
They're trying to treat us like the men treated them back in the years. They're trying to treat us like men treated them back in the years. They come home,
they make
a little bit more money, and they want to rule, which is wrong.
You take men out of a leadership position in the society, it's going to be destroyed, period.
Can you imagine, Obama, if that happened? Oh, my God. Women are going to go all emotional on this issue now.
Listen.
I can't do that because I don't feel that way. Or I don't do this because I had a feeling.
While we're jockeying for leadership, we both lead in our own roles. So why are men and women jockeying for leadership, which is the problem?
Look, 800-520-WSOM
or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600-WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I've got Senator Long that has just called in, and he is trying to organize a Article 5 convention. Senator Long, are you there?
I am here.
I know you had to listen to a whole lot of gender stuff going on between there. Sorry about that. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about you and what you're trying to do.
Well, there's a significant group of legislators nationally who have found each other basically over a mutual concern over what we all consider a runaway federal government right now for its inability to control its spending, for the tsunami of debt that is rolling up on this country, and the apparent inability in Washington for them to do anything about it. And so, you know, a lot of us look around, is there anything we can do as, you know, state legislators? And we found, each in our own way, the fact that the United States Constitution has a critically important provision in it that has never been used before for various reasons, but was a key point in getting the Constitution passed originally, and that was the ability of the states themselves to organize a convention of the states for the purpose of amending the United States Constitution. And so our group itself, and there are other groups around the country talking about this right now, but our group itself is organized and got together 31 states represented last December, voluntarily, about 104 state legislators from around the United States gathered at Mount Vernon in Washington to try to get organized in a process that would move this forward. We are meeting again in June in Indianapolis for 2 days. We've invited three legislators from each state in the country, both from the Senate and the House in each state, to come as delegates representing their states to begin to put the structure of a constitutional convention together so that we would have a set of rules and a process for accepting then any proposal that passes 34 states, which is what the process requires. 34 states must request a constitutional convention on a certain subject or subjects. And upon that 34 state filing that petition with Congress, Congress is required under the Constitution to establish a convention where the states will then gather to consider amending the U.S. Constitution. So that's the bones of this, basically, that we're trying to get done right now, is how do you put the structure of this together in such a way that when it is, when the states do gather, when that 34 state does petition on whatever subject that is going to be, that we will have a process that is under control, that will be able to be run by the states, that will be certain as far as how many votes each state gets. We believe one vote for each state, period, 50 total votes. And so that the opponents of this, who claim that if you had something like this, it would be a runaway convention, could be shown to be incorrect, and that, in fact, you can control this kind of convention to a single subject or several subjects and limit the debate to those topics. So that's basically what we're involved in right now.
So when you say subjects, are you saying that the proposed amendments already have to be drafted?
No, but the proposal itself does. The most prolific one out there right now is the balanced budget amendment, and that has been going on for years. Various states have passed it, and some have passed it recently. Some as far ago, like Indiana, is 1979. You need 34 states to pass a request for a balanced budget amendment process, and if, in fact, to get to that 34 state, which we don't have right now, then Congress is required under the Constitution to set a convention of the states for the consideration of these. But in this case, I think it will be the balanced budget amendment that gets across the finish line first.
When was the last Article 5 convention?
Pardon me?
When was the last time they've done something like this? Or have they ever?
That's never happened. And,
this has never happened?
The founders, one of the key things when you look back historically in getting the Constitution passed, because there was opposition to it, there was a great concern about a runaway central government, and you can understand why. The founders had just defeated Great Britain. They were afraid of the large centralized type governments or dictatorships or whatever that were in Europe, and they were very concerned about states' rights. The Constitution would not have been approved had they not put in this Article 5 process. And the founders believed we'd be using it regularly to check what they were concerned with was an overreaching federal government. And yet, through the years, there have been some attempts to move this forward for whatever reason, and most commonly because the federal government finally responded, the issue waned or died on the vine. So we've come close a few times, but we've never done this. There's also been strong opposition from groups like the Eagle Forum and the John Birch Society who fear a runaway convention. And so for various reasons, it's never been done, but I guarantee you the founders would have be rolling over in their graves if they knew. They thought we'd be using this regularly.
The runaway convention, a lot of my libertarian friends are concerned that if you do this, that there will be amendments proposed and passed to basically shut out anybody but the two parties.
Well, I think it was anticipated that state legislators would be participating in this. The representatives of the states for the state legislatures. It's the best way to do it. It's the most efficient way to do it. It's a constitutionally appropriate way to do it. And so in the sense that if there are libertarians who are interested in doing this, you'd have to be an elected official or probably a leader in your state. That doesn't mean you can't, or an independent. It doesn't mean you can't be appointed, but it would be up to the leadership of each state. So you're right, likely libertarians would not be a part of this because they're not a major party in the United States or in the states, in the 50 states right now. And that can change, obviously. But I think that's a side point.
How is there going to be, I mean, if you do something like this, and I think we should have a balanced budget, but there are so many things that are wrong right now with our federal government, in my opinion. So many things. And why not, how would we have equal representation from all the people across the country to do something like this so that we actually can make our government work again? Because right now it is just there.
Well, the thing that it is difficult to make this process work, and it's intended to be. I mean, you do have to have 34 states each arguing on a common issue. In this case, the balanced budget seems the most likely one at the moment, to be able to even call the convention. And then you have to have 38 states ratify the proposed amendment for it to become constitutional. So it's not an easy process. You're going to have a subject on which you find general consensus. And in this case, the fiscal irresponsibility of Washington is a common theme where Republicans and Democrats and Libertarians and others can agree on and should agree on. I mean, fiscal responsibility is not a partisan issue. But this, and the states are traditionally, now not every state is as good at it as others, we are required to balance our budget. The federal government is not. So we're used to it. We live within those controls and those boundaries. That doesn't happen in Washington, which is why most people feel that unless the states step in, as they were intended to do under the Constitution, when something like this occurs, that nothing will happen. So it seems the fiscal issues are the ones around which people can rally.
Are people going to be able to understand this? Because, I mean, the American people, I mean, honestly, they don't know what a senator does, what a congressman does, and or who a speaker is. They have no idea how the form of government actually works. Will the American people really understand what's going on here?
I think so. I think the American people are very adept at figuring things out. I think a key part of this would be an educational process because it's a new idea for many people. But I think the one thing we instinctively understand is that things aren't working in Washington right now and that there is a tipping point from which this country is going to maybe suffer permanent damage because of the debt that really threatens our very lifestyle, our position in the world, our kids' future and our grandkids' future if we don't get our heads wrapped around how to fix this. And I just I personally don't believe the answer is going to come from Washington. But for the American people to support it, they're going to have to understand it better. There is a very good book out right now called The Liberty Amendments that Mark Levin has written. Mm-hmm. It is starting to – it's a bestseller. People are learning more and more about this process every day. The more shows like yours begin to discuss this and around the country, and it is happening quite a bit, the better people will understand it, and I think the more support it will receive. So there's mounting momentum on this idea, and it's caused chiefly by grassroots movements that are happening right now to do something about this. I think that we're on to the best process to salvage our country's future. I think it's going to have to come from the states, and I think this is the way to do it.
I just want to ask you this one more question, this question in a different way to clarify this so people really understand
sure.
this. So the convention has to have a certain set of topic or topics. So say the convention is convened for a balanced budget amendment. Somebody couldn't propose a repeal of the Second Amendment at the same convention.
No, here's how you, and this is a good question. Here's what we did in Indiana, and this is an example that other states are now passing. For instance, Tennessee just passed a similar law. But what our law did was, first of all, it explained how you choose your delegate to the convention, and then, two, how you control your delegate. And basically, without the meat and potatoes of it is that a delegate will have a specific charge or charges. In other words, let's say we say you're going to go, you may consider a balanced budget amendment and a amendment of the Commerce Clause, let's say, and that's it. And if you fail to, in any way, exceed, or if you exceed your instructions, you'll be yanked from the convention, replaced by an alternate, and you're also guilty of a Class D felony. Now, what's going to happen is that we're going to pick people, delegates, we think, that are, who understand they'll be taking an oath. They will honor that oath. I have no doubt about it. Would be people of unimpeachable integrity, and I think most states would pick individuals like that. But I think you have to have something in place to counter what the critics will say is the inability to control a convention, just as you suggested, was to stop them from doing it. Now, here's the other thing about that question, though, also. 34 states have to get together just to propose this. 38 states have to approve anything that comes out of that convention. That's not going to happen, first of all. If they don't follow their instructions. And two, states like Indiana will have, as part of our delegate control law, we will also pull out of the convention if our delegates fail to follow the express instructions that we have given them. So we will not be part of the convention. That will, in and of itself, if other states do that, destroy the whole process. So there's going to be very strict controls on this. I think that's critically important. Each state passed laws like Indiana did, but I think there are ways to make absolutely certain that a runaway convention does not occur.
Okay. The balanced budget amendment you have mentioned, what are some of the other amendments that seem to be being talked about by the majority of the consortium you put together?
Well, there are a variety of ideas out there. Term limits for Congress and for federal judges is another one. And I think the unaccountability of the federal judiciary because they are appointed for life is a concern. And I think a legitimate one. I think people are in Congress are making, a living out there. 25, 30 years in office is absurdly long, and there are many, many members of Congress like that. Realistic term limits would make some sense. But they have to be thoughtfully put in place so you don't also inadvertently put the bureaucracy in charge out there because nobody can serve more than a couple terms. So there's a fine line you walk there, but term limits are a very common theme. Obviously controlling taxation and spending, that kind of wraps into a balanced budget amendment, but you may need more particular and specific ideas out there. But the fiscal issues, spending, taxing, and debt, are the ones that seem to rally almost everyone together for a common cause, no matter whether you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian. So those are the ones you should look for in any kind of a convention.
And this is being embraced by both Democrats and Republicans?
Well, we're trying to make it bipartisan. And, in some cases, in the very liberal large states, and you're in one of them, big government is considered the more appropriate approach, and obviously
everyone
may not have a problem. Pardon me?
I'm sorry. That was just something that came in that bled
out. Okay. But But the point being that there are going to be some large liberal states, California being another, that that are going to have a different approach to this. I mean, California is deeply in debt, and they seem to be willing to stay there and do nothing about it. There are going to be consequences for that, but that's their mindset out there. Most of the states, however, balance their budget, spend responsibly, and think that, Washington's completely out of control. So it shouldn't be a partisan issue, but there will be some partisanship in it. That's inevitable in this country right now, but fiscal issues seem to rally people from all stripes together as a common concern, and that's what I think we'll be focusing on. But to get there, you have to put the structure together in such a way that that you can say unequivocally, we can control this, that there's a process everyone can accept. And so we're doing that right now, looking back historically at how conventions were run prior to 1787 in this country. They were routinely done state by state, and there is a process that constitutional scholars have laid out, and we're going to try to put that into place in a structure that everyone can get to at least agree upon, so that if and when this convention happens, it can be done responsibly, thoughtfully, and in a way that controls the process and keeps the federal government out of it, a state-driven process only. That's our biggest goal of all.
So this really looks like a reality that can really come true?
I think it can. Obviously, the number of states having to call for a convention is a barrier there. And so that's the goal, is to have 34 states do it, and then we can get to work. But I don't personally, having studied this enough, I don't see any other way to get control of the federal government right now. And I think that the process is there. It's in the Constitution. It's constitutional. It is legal. It was intended to be used. And I think the states, it's high time we started using it. But again, you have to do it right. That's part of the group that I'm involved with, is trying to make sure that we prevent some of the concerns you've mentioned. No runaway convention. Control your delegates. Have a process in place that everybody agrees upon, so you can thoroughly and thoughtfully then debate the issue before you, which is likely to be a balanced budget amendment to start with.
Now let me ask you, I have one more question. And I
sure.
When you doing this, I'm going to assume this is more of a conservative issue than a liberal issue. Now we want liberals and we want everybody to come together and work together and join the party. But in 2016, if we take over the House and the administration, will you still push for an Article 5 convention? First, that's my first question. And secondly, will things change? Because, we should be able to do some things there as conservatives if that were to happen.
Well, that's a good question. I think the answer is yes. I think, really, to be honest with you, the idea that Washington is going to truly impose the changes that need to be made upon itself are unlikely. And I think to get it right and to get it focused on the most important issues of state, you're going to have to do it. So you're right in saying that in the past, when people were pushing for an Article 5 convention, the changes that were being sought were ultimately done or appeared to be done by the federal government, and it slowed its momentum enough that it didn't happen. But in this case, I think there's so much debt, spending so out of control, taxation, and just the general, a swamping of the boat of the American people by this overreaching federal government, that there has to be a significant game-changing approach to it, and I think the Article 5 process is the one to use. I think it's the only way it's going to happen.
That was something I was going to ask you. It's been my understanding that the threat of these conventions in the past is what has driven some of the amendments that we have had in the past, especially in the early part of the 20th century. Is that true or untrue?
I think that certainly discussions in the states on issues like, the income tax and things like that, there's a lot of things that Woodrow Wilson did in the progressive movement. Not good things, in my opinion, taking away the ability of the states to elect, you know, to state legislatures to choose the United States senators. The day that they did that in 1914 or whatever year it was, 16, states lost control of Washington. And it seemed like the right thing to do because it seemed like it was allowing the people to choose instead of the state legislatures. You can understand why that would be attractive. But the day that they decoupled the United States Senate from their various state legislatures is the day that the states lost accountability in Washington. So things like that did happen, and there was a lot of discussion in the states that, you know, ultimately had Congress proposing constitutional amendments, which is the way we've always done it, and that did stop momentum of the states doing it themselves. You're absolutely right. But in this case, I don't think that's going to happen. Talk is pretty cheap, and we're running out of time. And I think the pressure of the fact that we need to move decisively to stop this maddening fiscal crisis in this country will drive the Article 5 process forward, no matter who is in control in Washington.
Hey, Senator, are you willing to take a couple questions?
To take a couple questions? Yeah, I can.
Yes.
I'm on a short lease here because I'm going to run out of time.
Jeff, your mic is on.
Okay.
No, I'm good with what's being proposed that we try to get a control of the government, because the government is now no more for and by the people. It's the government against the people, and with foolish proposals like Holder did yesterday about gun owners having to wear a bracelet or they can't fire their gun. you're gone into the absurd and asinine of absurd, and it's just crazy. Something has to happen, and I applaud your what you're trying to do.
Alabama, you have
Thank
any
you.
Questions? He only has a few minutes.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I've heard the arguments against the Article 5 convention, runaway convention, stuff like that. I just think it makes it harder for corporations to affect 50 states, 50 different legislatures with all these different people. That would be very difficult, and then it's going to be ratified by 38 states. That's going to be hard for them to come in and stop it. I heard some people say that, you know, they'll come out and stop it, and I think it's a great idea. I don't think it's going to happen until the dollar's about to collapse, though. When the dollar's about to go, when the economy is about to fall apart, we're about to go into it's going to be a superpower, then I think it'll happen. But right now, people just think money grows on trees, so I just think people like California, and they want to siphon off the rest of them. So we screwed it up, and America's going to pay for it. And, I thought Georgia just got on board a while ago. How many states?
Alabama, I gotta let him go. I just wanted to make sure everybody got the question in.
I said, I'm being safe right now to get it done.
Senator Long, give us the website, please.
Okay, it's the Mount Vernon Assembly. So themountvernonassembly.org. And that is our group that is putting together the temple structure for the convention, the rules and the process it has to use to run it so that it is done properly. But that's leading toward a June 12th and 13th meeting in Indianapolis, and then a follow-up meeting somewhere else in the country in December, where we will in both cases have delegates sent from each of the states, not for a constitutional convention for the issue of the balanced budget, but just to put the structure together. And once we have it in place, and we have at least 26 states that we will have that approve this process, then if and when the day comes when something like the balanced budget amendment gets the 34-state threshold, we will have the convention process in place, unquestioned, and so people like Harry Reid and others out in Washington cannot abscond with this process or try to insert the federal government into it. It's going to be a state-driven process. It has to be successful. And so there's how you can find out more about us right there.
Thank you so much, and thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you. Bye-bye now.
Stanley, you there?
Alabama.
Who this?
Jeff.
Who is this?
Jeff.
Oh, what's up, Jeff?
What's going on, partner?
Ain't nothing. I really got into that feminist stuff, man. That really burns me up when I hear women complaining about equal pay and all these different rights. And I'm just, I mean, it really bothers me because I'm sitting like women get the world handed to them, but they still want to, you know, they want more. I mean, let's, you know.
Well, here's the
thing. I mean, let's be honest. The NBA is just a stimulus package for women. I mean, it is. The NBA is a way for women to go out and get as many babies as they can by these ball players. And that's it. Professional sports is just one example.
Man, you just talking about 500 group of men, man, with money.
Well, and the women, you know, they certainly aren't.
Jeff, man, you're breaking up, man.
Breaking up,
that good.
And they certainly are maybe superior in the fact that they can do multitasking much better than we can. But here's the thing. When you're talking about how things run in systems, you know, it was a crazy notion that Tracy was saying when she came up there and was saying, I'm better than you after I've been out of the workplace 6 years. Handling my family. Oh, I don't care how much better you think you are or how much more skilled you are not experienced and you cannot run the systems that we change to.
But Jeff, there's something to be said about the intestinal fortitude of men. Like, I'm sorry, I think women discount that. They only look at, okay, I can pass this test better than you. They think that means they're more better than leading. If that's the case, then Harvard peak leaders would actually be good leaders.
I'll be
but
back on the
just because you can take a test, that doesn't necessarily get better equipped
Alabama,
to run and
Alabama,
lead.
Alabama, we got we're jockeying, men and women are jockeying for leadership roles and stop. We're leaders in our own ways. The conversation, I hear what you're saying, and I hear what they're saying, but a lot of things that I hear is actually the problem. That's keeping us stagnant, and we keep going through this war. Women have their skills, we have our skills. We're leaders in our own way, they're leaders in their own way. We're providers in our own way, they're providers in their own way. But we're jocking and saying men are more this, and women, we run in this, and in actuality, we both need each other.
Baltimore, what I'm not saying,
bro.
This is what I'm not saying, Baltimore. I'm not saying that men are to take every leadership position and women aren't good for anything but making babies. I've never said that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not going to the dark
ages. What are you saying, then?
This is what I'm saying. I'm saying that our society is suffering because the value of manhood has been minimized. Now it's gone over to the other side where if you're a woman, you're smart, you're strong. Black girls rock, let's not forget. But you can't say black boys rock. Or you can't. To sit up here and say it's not hypocrisy, it's just crazy. It's just a lot of things.
Well,
let me make a point. If I take like my ex-girlfriend, if I try to take her out of town, she will catch hell if we don't stay in at least a 3-star hotel. We could not go and stay $25, $30. I'm like, look, if the water's clean, nobody's gonna shoot me or stab me. Got a good, nice, warm bed. Leave me alone. I'm good. That's how men are. Women, I can't stay in the hotel unless it's 3-star. Women are the biggest consumers.
Whoa.
And really, I'm just being honest, dude, this is a fact. There's a reason. Can you explain why they make less money, why all the stores are trying to sell to women? Because they spend all the money. They spend their money, and every man money they spend his money too.
And Baltimore,
there's
some
differences,
there's
man.
Right. Yeah, there's a difference.
But we made
Baltimore,
the product, so they can spend it too. So we are. Well, go ahead.
The other difference is, let's go perfectly with the weight thing. If as a man, if I go see a brother or a friend and say, look, man, you let yourself go a little bit, you will never see a man say, oh, no, you should accept me what I am, or this is that. He'll look at himself like, yeah, I did. I need to work out.
Well, Stanley,
and he'll wait. He'll take responsibility. Try to say that to your girlfriend. Try to say that to your wife.
No.
Try to say that to any woman. you will be dogged out.
Man.
You are so shallow. You don't know what you're talking about. You should accept me for who I am. Women, real women have curves, blah, 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 blah. You don't know what everything, every excuse of the possible there is. Never taking responsibility of their own health. If you don't even take responsibility of your own body and your own health, what the hell does it tell me about you?
Okay, but Stanley, I agree with you. I use an example, and I said there are a lot of black women who are starting to work out.
Helping you on the road to recovery.
Not a lot.
I agree with you.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space with the air. Like I don't care, baby. By the way,
welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1-3-2-5. Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1-3-2-5.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. So now you can talk about Article 5 Convention, or you can talk about gender issues. I think that
maybe they're one and the same.
I don't think any women will be a part of the Article 5 Convention.
Well, I wouldn't. I believe there would be.
There will not be many.
Well, no, there won't be many. Because
why is that?
Because there's less women in politics than men.
Why is that?
Because you're all too busy having babies.
You know, you keep on throwing that baby thing out here, and your wife and I are going to have a powwow. I think that attitude right there, and people think that way. They think because a woman has a baby, she doesn't have a mind.
Ah, no. See, that's where we disagree. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't want to say disagree, but no.
What?
Any man who respects his wife, if she's running a house the way she's supposed to be running a house, She's worth $50,000 a year.
Yeah, but you don't think she does anything else, and that's where you lose.
What do you mean? I don't think she does anything.
Because
else.
If I stay home 7 years to raise my child, you don't think that I'm still capable to walk in the door and be just.
You
child.
May or may not be.
But again,
depends on if you kept up your continuing education.
The assumption is you don't think I'm as good anymore, and that is the problem.
You know what it assumes. You know what assumes
you're
means.
Telling me, Tracy, you're telling me that a guy who's been getting up, going to work every day, dealing with employees, dealing with customers, dealing with the client, working every day, and then you got a woman been sitting at house raising her kids, but she took some certification test on a computer to keep up to date. She walks in, and you got this guy been working straight, don't have no gap in his employment, and the woman deserves to get the same amount of money? Come on.
Absolutely.
Yo, you could, exactly, because I just want to say something real quick, Tracy, because, see, this is the problem. See, if that woman would not keep that household straight, he would not be able to go to work in his sane mind. If he's
mm-hmm.
always worried about home, he's not going to be able to be confident and do what he has to do at work. I mean, morale is good. I mean, I can't be worrying about doing a good job if my mind is always at home. So her
what does that have
down
to do with the company
house,
that hired the woman?
You keep on talking to crazy people, and I'm going to beat you.
Switch the subject, Tracy. My bad. I'm quiet.
But Tracy, you're assuming that woman will take care of home. I'm sorry. There's less and less women who know how to cook. There's less and less women who know how to even treat their own man. And there's less and less women who know how to even raise a kid.
But you probably have more Caucasian women have made greater strides in the workforce than any other group. I mean, you probably have like a large percentage of Caucasian women in the Senate and the Congress and also in all types of corporate America. So the main group that suffered in the workplace has probably been men who are minorities, namely Hispanic and black men, are the two main groups that probably...
You are so far off.
Probably at this point...
Philadelphia.
That they don't have representation in the workplace as much as Caucasian women do.
What does that got to do with me getting paid the same wage as a man? Doing the
same
job.
If you can't get the job in the first place, then you're not going to receive the wage anyway. So I'm saying that I would say that Caucasian women, if they're not receiving the same wage as men, I would say at this point it's very close. Because we have a lot of Caucasian women that are the CEO of major corporations in America.
But they're not getting, again, that's what we're trying to say. Even if a woman walks in as a CEO of a corporation, she doesn't always get the same equal pay and the same equal
wages. Not true.
Hold on, Jeff.
Not true whatsoever.
Name me one.
You name me one it is.
There are quite a few that say she did not get the same package as Wagner.
I guarantee you she did, or better. You have to understand something. You have to understand something. That's not how they're figuring this out. They're taking the number of women and the number of men and how much they're making per hour, and then they're comparing them to each other, and this is the foolish part. If you got 20 secretaries and you got 10 managers, of course there's going to be a huge change in what they are. What the left is trying to do is trying to create income equality, and it can't possibly work. Wait a minute, all jobs are not created equal.
Jeff, okay, let me say this. I am not going by the conversation of the president yesterday and what he's talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. It came up this morning because it came up with three personalities and other women and what we do and how we do what we do, and we still do not get treated with the same dignity, respect, and or pay as men. Now,
but the only thing
not,
I'm saying is that a lot of Caucasian women do much better than minority men.
I'm gonna stop
in the workplace.
There. No.
Yeah, you gotta shut them off because you can't just what I'm saying is.
Well, I'm not talking about what the president is talking about, but I am talking about the actual income inequality, because if you really look at it dollar for dollar, and not all, we're not talking about all jobs, we're not talking about unions, but professional women, and we don't. In the radio industry, we don't. And
that's
we don't.
Not
and
true.
Yes, I'm telling you what I know.
Well, you tell me where you know it from, because I don't have
Jeff,
any evidence.
I don't, Jeff, I'm telling you, even when I worked in the healthcare industry, we did not get paid, but when our male counterparts got paid.
That was 20 years ago, Tracy.
Jeff,
that's
in radio, I'm in radio now, Jeff. The income is not the same.
If you were working for a station, you would get the same as any man.
No, you would not.
Oh, you show me that one, then. I want to see it.
So, Tracy, every man tells you his salary.
No, what I'm saying is when you look up the inequality of what we're talking about, apples to apples, inside of the professional industry, when it comes to people that are in the media industry that are in management, they don't get paid the same as their counterparts. As a matter of fact, in General Motors.
Tracy, it's a 5% difference, Tracy.
Listen, I don't care how much 5% or 10%, it is still not the same. I'm not saying,
yeah,
I'm not, if it's 1% off, it's still not the same.
Women are not as likely to ask for raises, men. You know that, right?
It doesn't matter.
They don't ask for raises.
Somebody look up what the previous CEO started at and what this CEO started at, and I'll guarantee you it's not going to be no huge difference because she's a woman.
Jeff, the people, what I'm telling you, your salary employees at your major car dealer, your automobile manufacturers, are not getting paid the same dollar for dollar for the same job.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. That's not true. I got Hyundai right in Montgomery, Alabama, Hyundai plant.
Oh.
Women coming there making the same amount of money.
No, they don't.
He's talking about salary.
He's talking about front office people. And like I said, you're gonna have to break those things down, because there's no way that anybody could get away with that today.
Yes, they can.
Well,
how?
According to
they can't justify it federally.
They can.
According to this,
The new CEO of GM is making about twice what the last CEO of GM was making.
The last CEO is what? She's making twice the amount?
Yep. Says here $14.4 million for her versus $9.1 million for the last guy.
And who was the last guy?
Dan Akerson.
And how much was Wagner make? And how, what kind of perks did she get?
Yeah, in profits.
She gets $10 million in long term compensation and he got zero. That's the difference. Base pay,
but
she got 1.6, he got 1.7. Hold on. Mary Barra versus Dan Akerson. 1.6 million she got, 1.7 million he got, base pay. Short term compensation, $2.8 million. Short term compensation, $7.35 million. Here's where she made out. Long-term compensation, $10 million.
Okay.
His long-term compensation was zero.
Okay.
So she's getting hers out in the distance.
Right.
And he got his right up front.
Okay.
But she still gets all, she's still making $5.4 million more than he does.
Now, overall,
but
over the long term.
Right.
Over the hold on, Philadelphia. Hold up. I'm telling you, hold up. So my question is, in her contract, going down the ranks. Because, now, let me rephrase the question. Jeff.
Yeah.
Do black people get paid the same amount of money as white people in the workplace?
Yeah.
Dollar for
they
dollar?
Sure do.
Equal?
Yes, dollar for dollar. But
okay.
Here's the whole thing. Black people have more or less lower paying jobs than the white people.
No, we're not talking
about
no, no, Jeff. I'm talking about equal jobs. Equal pay.
Equal jobs, same money.
You mean so you mean to tell me that an African-American man, do African-American males make more than African-American females?
Oh, I don't think so. It depends.
So you're trying to tell
me,
hold on, guys. Let me get this out with Jeff, because Jeff is telling me all things are equal.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
They don't have a wage set for women and a wage set for men.
They have
a wage set by degree, by experience.
You're telling me all things are equal now.
I'm telling you that when it comes to
job, when we're talking about negotiating contracts,
absolutely are equal.
And you believe that?
I know it's not a belief.
I've got 10 people on the line. Hold up. All of us have something to say.
Problem.
Go ahead, Mike.
All right, 30 seconds. Well, first of all, when you put an ad in the paper, you're putting the specifications and the qualifications for that task. If anybody, man or woman, can fit that qualifications and specifications, go ahead and hire them. But don't downgrade on those duties and those specifications for a man or woman. I don't think you should do that. But real quick, when you're talking about gender gap, people have salary range. You can have a salary. That's why when they put the ad in the paper or anything, from $51,000 to $68,000. That's why there's some reasons why they tell you don't discuss salary on a job. There's many ranges and there's many wiggle room where people can give people different salaries and have the same qualification. It's just a fact. That's all I wanted to say.
Go ahead, South Carolina.
Yeah, hello.
Well, Tracy, most jobs that I've seen, even in the white collar arena, they're kind of based off of productivity. And if you're not producing, you're not going to get the same salary. And here's the factor: you cannot compare apples to apples and orange. You can't compare orange to apples because when you're talking about men working and women working, there is a very big difference in the productivity. There's no other way to get around it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Tracy, here's the thing. There's certain things that affect a man that don't affect a woman. She can get pregnant. And if she gets pregnant, that takes her out of the loop, out of the actual production loop for anywhere from 6 months to 12 months. She comes back in and expects to get the same salary. That's not possible. I mean, you lose productivity, it's just like, It's just like kids going through school, and then all of a sudden they go out for the summer, and they come back and expect them to be at the same level. Just not going to happen. And there's no way to make a fair comparison when you're talking about salary, especially when you're talking about productivity. If you're producing the same, get paid the same. If you're not producing the same, you're not going to get paid the same. I think the whole thing is based out of greed and jealousy anyway.
If this is more about divide and conquer than anything else.
Yep.
It's not. It's really not about. I mean, seriously, you have to really understand. And we may disagree completely, but there are a lot of women out there who are not getting paid equal dollars as men do, and a lot of professions. And I'm not talking about, you know, don't tell me what. And I got to go to what Mike said. There is that gap, you know, that range. Because they do feel as though, because I might get pregnant, I'm going to lose productivity. You have, I mean,
so let me ask you this, Tracy.
I wish I had called some people out.
If a man comes into a position, right, and a man, usually men, like, are kind of, especially me, I'm 6'2", I go in the IC, right? I work with a lot of Indians, they're short, a lot of them are intimidated, I got a deep voice, so it's a little bit more competitive for men. So men are going to be a little bit more ambitious when they go into a job setting. They want to be in charge. They want to be over. That's just us through sports, through everything. That's how men are. Women, I know women that will work in a position for 10 years, and I respect them. Like, there's no way I would do that for 10 years. But they'll do it. Women are a little bit different. You have, it's almost like we don't take that into account. We just look at tests and numbers and say, okay, well, women are this. You can't make an assumption off of something, because most of this stuff that says women are better are just based on some test that they took with women and men. And now where you want to come out and say, well, women are better business runners than men because they think before. Like, hold up, man. Like, that's just not – it's a lot more that goes into running a business than just one little trait. But that's what these studies do, and they get people to go at each other like they're doing now.
Listen, I'm not trying to get us to go at each other, but men will not acknowledge – there are many jobs out there, you know, as a general sales manager or as an on-air talent. You will find that men get paid more. Their perks are different than women. And I hate to say, you know, well, it's all equal. It's not. African-Americans inside the same industry get paid less than their counterparts. And it's not because they don't work harder and they're not smarter. It is the way that it is.
And I'm going to say
because
something.
Because we come in now, we don't want to make waves. We just want a job.
I'm going to say something real crazy here, Tracy. You might think I'm crazy for saying it. But what difference does it make? What difference? If I'm paying the kitchen, and I go back to what the gentleman said when he said, this is the reason why they tell you not to discuss salary or what you're getting for your salary in the workplace. The specific reason. It's a divide and conquer.
But what I'm saying is, I don't tell you what I make, and I don't harp on this. But when the truth be told, if you don't want to acknowledge it, it's just as bad as not paying me what I'm due. You know, if it's the truth, it's the truth. But don't act like it's not the truth because you think all things are equal, because they're not. Now there's some women out there making a whole lot of money and they're doing some great things. But their journey is a whole lot different than it was for that white male.
But, Tracy, maybe it comes to a point that you have to accept that there may be some fight as a woman that you will have, that you won't have the fairness that you have. Because as men, we have to say, wait, Tracy, let me just finish. Because as men, there is many issues as a man that I have to say that I don't accept the fairness. Where's the fairness in this? Perfect example, birth control. Where's the fairness in my – where is my right as a man to tell you as a woman, I don't want to pay child support because I don't want to be a father? Where's my right on that?
Ms. Stanley, but I got to go back. I've said to you before, I believe that the legal system is not fair. You are correct. But I do – and hold on. And I do know managers who have hired men and brought them in at a higher salary because they knew that they had to pay child support. And they didn't do it for the woman who came in.
Yeah,
I've seen it done.
Maybe you need to accept that there's some stuff that you won't have equality also, period.
It's not about
you not having – sense you asking that? You're asking me for everything.
And I'm doing everything. Listen, you're not paying me child support.
I don't care, Tracy. It's all about society. If you want equal, you have to have equality in everything
there is between men and women. I'm not paying you child support. So when you come in and we're both managers doing the same job.
Yeah.
Don't tell me I deserve less because I'm not paying child support.
Yeah,
that's
but
none of your business.
But if we're doing the basics, don't come to me as a man and tell me that if you have 20 rights more than me, that because you have one that you don't have, that we have the same thing as we have the same vote when we don't.
No, then men need to organize and make it to where the legal system works in their favor.
Good luck. Wait, what? With women controlling the judge? With women controlling anything? Try to do that.
See, Tracy, in our society, men can't say, us in our society, us men, if we want to go on a move and have things fair and balanced, we can't say we want to have the last say and then we want everything to be equal. See, us men, we need to, step up, and like I said, on their job, don't pick that box up for that woman. We need to take a stance, because some men are still playing that role, too.
I told you, when I come to work, when I'm doing my job,
I ain't asked
you to pick up no box.
But I've seen it. I've seen it.
Listen,
come on, Tracy,
Don't hate us because we'll work what we got. But personally, I'm trying to tell you, I don't need you to pick up the box. Not at work. I need you to pick up the box at home. I don't need you to hold my door open when I'm at work. As a matter of fact, I don't need you to drive. I need you to come do your job so I don't have to do your job and mine and then not get paid what you get paid. That's what I'm saying.
That's simply just not the truth, though, Trace. I'm sorry. But they got you in the same bag that they have everybody else, believing that mess. And the thing is what they've done, I try to tell you again, they've taken all the women in the workplace and all the men in the workplace. So how do you think they did it just for the White House to find out that the White House women were making 12 cents less than all the men? Because they put their stuff together and adjusted it for numbers of women and numbers of men, et cetera, and they went out there and made this statement. Well, it's a bunch of mess.
But what
it's
I said,
not
Jeff,
true.
I'm not talking about the White House.
Say that again.
Talking about all over.
I ain't talking about federal government jobs.
I'm saying this is what they're doing all over to make this foolish argument.
But what I'm saying to you is you're trying to tell me all things being equal.
I'm telling you that all things cannot be equal. First of all, if you, a female CEO, start to work this month, and I've been there since 2 years ago, of course I'm going to make more than you. I'm more experienced than you. So I'm going to make more. There is no such thing as making that up. You can't make that up.
A woman can be on a job longer than a man, and a man will come in and make the same rate that she does.
Tell me where that happens at today.
It happens every day, Jeff. And I can't tell you what I know, but I can tell you that it is true.
Well, the point is, if you know it's true,
you can go in and get a job tomorrow, and I can be working there 20 years, and you will make the same rate that I make just because you're a man. Now, I'm not saying that all industries are that way.
That's not true.
But that's true.
No, it's
just
not
because,
true.
Just because you're a man, especially if you have a man hiring you.
Oh, boy.
Tracy, let's say if I was biased, and I said, I'm going to pay this man more because I think traditionally he's supposed to provide financially for his family, so I'm going to pay this man more. Let's say if I think like that. It may go, I don't know. Some people may be biased and do stuff like that, Tracy. I don't know.
But it's
happening. I've watched it happen.
I don't think this is a liberal conservative issue. This is a men and women issue. I don't think it's a liberal and conservative issue.
Let me say this.
Now, they're making it into
a political issue with President Barack Obama. Right. They're making it into a political issue based on some other things. But just overall, in general, is there some inequality when it comes to gender, when it comes to pay? Absolutely. The same way it happens with African Americans. Not because I am, not qualified, not because I don't have the same degree, not because I'm not at the same level, just because they can, and they do. Now, I'm not going to say it's not my fault for asking for more. I'm not going to say that they did it. There are other equations in it, but it is true. Anytime I've got five men on the line, and you guys keep on telling me, you guys can go out and have a baby, and I can't, that right there tells you how you think.
Tracy, can I interject something, please?
Yes.
Okay, look, I went to school. I did my degree was business information systems, right? Now, did real estate. Market fell apart. Did the comedy club. Didn't work out. I was making, $13 an hour as a produce manager. Hated it. I went, got a certification, studied, did what I had to do, and now I make three times that much an hour. So my thing is, the reason I'm saying that is just that it bothers me when I hear women complain about their salary. When I'm like, it's what you make of it. If you want a higher salary, when I got into IT, I was happy with $30 an hour. I was happy. After about 6 months, I was like, oh man, I need 40. I need at least 35 minimum. Now I'm trying to get close to 50 now. I'm like, no, I need 50. Like. That's something that you got to know your worth. You have to go out and assert yourself, and that's it. And women a lot of times are loyal. They'll come into a position, make $30 an hour, and they'll still be in that same position. And here I am. Now they're trying to get a raise 4 years later. They're fine working up under me. And I came in, and I just went at it. Like, that's my mentality. And that's a lot of guys' mentality. Men are like that. Women don't do that. I'm being completely honest with you. It's like saying guys leave the toilet stool up. It's just certain things that men do and women
Alabama,
don't.
I agree with a lot of that. You're right. I agree with some of what you're saying. I agree with, because women do become very, very comfortable in their position. But you got to also understand, men also they do things differently. Women do, and as a matter of fact, we carry sometimes more weight than you guys do. Because we can multitask.
But also, this study needs to be more comprehensive in terms of dealing with minority men and Caucasian women in the workplace. And I would venture to say that minority men do not make the same amount of money as Caucasian women.
Hey,
you find more Caucasian women in different positions where they're managers and supervisors over some corporate group than you would find minority men.
Philadelphia.
And so also, this particular study is not taking into account that you have more Caucasian men that are currently in the workplace than you have women.
Listen,
are you telling me that
white women get paid more than black men?
What I'm saying is, on the whole, I would say that that's the case, that you have more white women in some type of senior management position that are over minority men, and on the whole, they probably do make more money than most minority men do.
Okay. Now, Stick, do you agree with that?
Yeah, somewhat.
And what about the negotiating power and salaries in the interview position? Who has more power and level and weight?
It all depends on what it is.
Right. It maybe all depends on what it is.
It all depends on what it is. But I will say this, the inequality, it is real. I mean, it may stay the same.
And you can't
legislate this to make it become equal.
No, because a lot of this, especially with very small companies, is you have men setting the salaries of men, and you've got a man coming in front of you saying, I've got a wife and kids to take care of.
Right, and that's the whole
and
thing
the
is what I'm saying is that this study doesn't take into account that you have more men in the workplace than you have women. So therefore, you have more men that are trying to support households And so
you
have a larger number
in the group. How can you tell me? If you got a man trying to take care of a household, what about the woman who's trying to take care of her household? Because a man, as a matter of fact, a man
but most of the time, those women.
But also, Tracy, we're dealing with a stereotype.
What?
You've got an awful lot of people our age that look at a woman in the workforce as a luxury for a family, not a necessity.
Who said?
Oh, you ask. You look. Most of the people our age, even yet, don't look at two incomes as a necessity in a household.
Are you out of your mind? Have you been to the grocery store yet?
Yeah, but
you
gotta look
at the
also,
of the
even if you're
hiring,
but,
10, 15 years older than we are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Not now.
Yeah, but if you're dealing with a Caucasian household, the woman does not have to have the same level of job as her husband.
That's
whereas if you're dealing
entirely.
With a minority household, the woman, in most cases, she's trying to support the entire household on her own. So therefore, you definitely have a different type of social dynamic in play as well.
Hold on, Philadelphia. 440, your mic is on. You've been trying to get in for a minute.
Yeah, I just want to address the woman thing, nothing else. The whole problem is this is really simple. Women just have to know their place. Stay home.
You know
that.
You know
what? Have kids.
You know what?
Household. Have
you,
sex.
Hey, Tracy, look that, across the tape.
That's the game. That's it.
440.
You
know what? You had I knew you were going to come up with something crazy like that. I knew it.
I know,
knew
that's
you
why
were going
you were
say,
dodging me. You were dodging
I knew
me,
it.
And I said, she knows that I'm gonna just rattle her cage this morning. There you go. But there's truth in that.
Well, you know,
and
I
you
will
know
say
what?
This.
I
if
let,
a man didn't treat
let,
a woman like property, we would stay home.
I let my wife make all the decisions until it's time for me to make the big decision.
And what's the big decision? Where are you going to go eat?
Well that's... No.
Or what you're going to watch on television?
It's kind of flexible. When I see that I have to make a certain decision, then I'll make the decision. But I had to lighten it up today. You guys are getting...
Now, I got a question for you guys, because I got to take a break really quick, but I got a question for you. Is the man still the head of the house?
Yes, in most cases, if you're talking about Caucasian homes... The man is still the head of the house, and the man is the person who's the primary person who's making most of the money in most Caucasian households.
But
that's not always
that
the case if you're talking about
African-American
households.
I can only speak from a Caucasian household, and that's the case. I can't speak for anybody else because...
Well, I've heard a lot of Caucasians...
I'm not black, and I'm not Hispanic, so...
Well, I heard a lot of Caucasian men jokingly say that their wife rules. She has the last word. I mean, you know, but...
Well, yeah, they do.
Exactly.
It's time for me
to
make the decision.
Listen, I know a Caucasian friend. He said his wife pays him, and, you know, he lets her take care of all the bills, and he just gets $100 after his paper, and he's happy. And, I mean, that's how some people do it. So,
well, that's because his wife probably controls the family budget.
Right,
yep.
Exactly. She rules and she makes all the decisions. She doesn't
okay.
have to make nothing.
Tracy, I made your day, right?
I think she went to the commercial.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
If you put a few $100 in the bank and then the rest of the pay period, she do what she want to do with her money. I do what I want to do. Don't question me. I don't question you. But we put a few dollars
right.
in the bank for savings. That's what I think. I don't think you should be. Cause I wouldn't want to control her. And I don't want her, she ain't going to tell me I can't go eat out with my boys. Or go.
No,
I don't have no problem.
I don't
she
believe
can look at my account. She might can look in it and see what I'm doing, but I don't have no problem with that. But I wouldn't be just getting $100 every day. No way.
Me personally, next time, I will never do one account. I would like to have one central account where it's an and statement and both of us our individual accounts, because there are things that we're going to come together on, but like you said, sir, there's certain things that I want to buy, I work for, I work overtime for, that I want, that she has no decisions or, you know, have any say-so in. But me personally, you know, I wouldn't have everything, because it's like what you're getting out and all this, it shouldn't be no questions. But everybody, I mean, you know, to each their own. But I'm sorry.
If you got a wife and a husband and they take like maybe 10% of the check every pay period and drop it in each, that's a sizable amount of money going in the account every week or every 2 weeks. And if incidentals come up, family emergency, you got the money. If you want to do a business or something, you need a down payment, you know, you and her come together on that and y'all go for it.
You need to know the power of and or. A lot of couples don't know the power of and or on banking accounts, and that could have saved a lot of money. Because you can control what, you know, if you have an account that says, my wife and me, it needs two signatures to take money out of that account. A lot of couples put all these savings in. Each individual can come and take money out. No, if you're going to put something together, before we do it, it's an agreement. It's a compromise when we take money out. No one is the leader. No one has the last say in that account. It's both. It's compromise. And that's what people don't want to get through. But, once you learn the power of ending all those accounts, man, it can save a lot of arguments down and things of that nature. It's just that simple.
Okay, let me ask you something. So when your significant other is against you on a business endeavor, right, you just can't do it because she ain't with it. Is that what you're saying? Because I'm sure you know how women are. A lot of times women don't like taking risks at all.
I'm talking about getting money out of that business account. If you and your wife have a business and that business account is saying you and her, both of y'all can deposit money, but getting that money out, y'all going to have to come to an agreement, a compromise. So that's what that count
is. If she says no and you say yes, then it's no. It sounds like. That's what I'm just listening to you.
Right, but at that point, you're not at a compromising position.
This is the thing. When a woman says yes
it's great,
and you say no, it's going to probably be yes. But if
yes,
you say no,
exactly.
If
it's
you
gonna
say
be
yes,
no.
If she says no, it's going to be no.
Exactly.
So who's really running the situation?
No. Well, no.
Oh, she calls them legs. That's it. And they'll do that. Women will do that.
Exactly. Or she'll say, you better do what I'm saying or I'll divorce you.
And she crazy.
Well, she can
that's
have
what
that.
I want to get away from.
I'll be like, bye. I ain't trying to hear that.
But, right, but you're not
legs or something. That's not a compromise.
I should probably warn you, I'll be just fine. Say you don't waste your time. Here's why. Because I'm the happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm the happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm the happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm the happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Bring me down, can't none. Bring me down, your love is too high. Bring me down, can't none. Bring me down, I said. Bring me down, can't none. Bring me down, your love is too high. Bring me down, can't none. Bring me down, I said.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hey, listen. Somebody has taken my song and run with it. Everywhere I go, I hear Happy. And so y'all need to tell people that this is my song and this is Pharrell Williams' song, and he's letting me use it. Nobody else to be able to use it. Now that I got that out. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends. It's 10:45 here on the 9th of April, 2014. And if you live in the northeast Ohio area, the sun is shining. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be spring, no rain today. I think we're all looking for it. It's going to be up about 55 degrees, and so we can breathe for a moment. We were talking about gender inequality, and I just want people to say it's true. It is what it is. I was talking to Sticks during the break, and I told him, I said, I was calling people out. He said, well, if they worked here longer than you, but I do the same job as you. I work just as hard. Sometimes I work harder than you. And I still don't get paid what you get paid, and I just don't think that's right. Stanley, and women don't want everything. Not all women are bad. You know that, right? Stanley.
I'm here.
Well,
not all women are bad. There's some good. There's some good women out there. The problem is,
I never said all women are bad. I'm just saying that a lot of women use that. There's a lot of women who are good. I wish a lot of women were decent and nice and not using power, but there's a lot of women who are not. I'm sorry.
But there are a lot of bad men. I mean, it's equal. We're all the same.
Of course there is.
And what I'm saying is, we don't. You guys don't understand. I mean, when I say this, you don't understand that. There are women out there who want to be good wives and be good women, but men won't let them.
Whoa. How can a man not let you be a good wife? Nobody has that power. If you want to be good,
they
be good.
Because they abuse what they have.
How they abuse what they have?
Man, Stanley, the mental games and things that go on in relationships.
What mental game?
But that's a separate situation than what you make in the workplace.
No. Listen. It makes it. No. It all starts the same because remember, if a man treated me right at home, I wouldn't try to go find a workplace to take up for my family.
But
I mean, there's
the
a
problem.
The
problem, Tracy, is like there's a lot of women who assume that what they're doing is treating the man right. They never ask the question to the man, am I doing what I need to do to treat the man right? You could think as a woman that you're cooking and you're doing this. But I'm sure I kick that man and I talk to him along. He'll tell me 20 things that you're not doing that he thinks you should do and you're not doing, but you still think in your mind as a woman that you're doing right to the man.
Stanley, what I'm saying is there's some good women and some good men out there, but they're having a hard time finding each other. And they want to be good wives. I mean, it's a process. Nobody walks into a relationship and knows what the other person wants because people change and evolve.
Yeah,
Tracy, when I walked into the bank the other day, you're saying that I supposed to see all men in that bank? Only seen one man working in that bank. When I walked into the bank,
you were probably looking at
the
tellers. Tellers are all women most of the time.
Philadelphia, you cannot talk across people. Go ahead, Mike, finish your point.
It's me.
I understand you, Tracy, but I'm saying when I went to the bank and opened an account the other day, mostly women. So you're saying that now, you're saying those women should be home and I should walk in the bank and it should be mostly men?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
As Philadelphia alluded to, most women are tellers. Most tellers are women, and I don't know why that is. I don't know. I see a couple every now and then. You see a man that will apply.
I'm talking about the sales associate that opened up my account.
Again,
she was a woman.
She
was a woman.
I can't speak to the bank and or what happened there. I know in my bank that's not true. I go in. There's men and women running around there. It all depends on where you are and what you're doing and how they actually put people where they are. But my issue is. It's from when I said to Stanley, there's some good women out there, and they want to be good. They want to be in a good relationship with someone who's going to respect them. But you have to understand the they get beat up before they can find good. And by the time they find good, they don't know what to do with good is.
But I don't agree with you. How the hell did they get beat up?
Society beats them up. People beat them up. I mean, you go through some bad... Stanley,
I think that's an individual thing. It depends on the woman.
It depends on what
she's willing to tolerate if she's in a relationship with a man.
No, what I'm
that's
saying is...
That's an individual characteristic.
Tracy, I know some women, if you hit them just once, you're done. I know some women, you can hit them 20, 100 times, you'll still stay in the relationship.
Stanley? Stanley, if you hit me, you're done.
Yeah,
I can tell you that.
Your women, go ahead.
Stanley, if you hit Tracy, you're done. You know why? Because I'm going to try to kill you. It is just what it is. But it's not
because
I'm a bad person.
But if I
don't get hit.
I know. But if I hit Julie three, four times, she's still going to stay in the relationship with me.
No, because Julie don't know how to go home. You have to understand, if a man hits a woman, or if a woman hits a man, he can tell me he loves me all he wants to, but he doesn't like me. Because I don't believe in hitting men, and I don't believe that men should hit women.
But, hello?
Yes, Philadelphia.
I would say, you know, I've actually known women who have been battered, people in my family who have been through all types of domestic abuse, and that's more of an individual characteristic. Some women will put up with it if they have experienced it in their own home as they were growing up, if they dealt with a father who happened to be abusive. Then if they meet a mate who's abusive, then that's going to cause them to tolerate it more. Whereas if you have a woman who has a very strong sense of self-esteem, that's not something that she's probably going to put.
Philadelphia, you've gone too far. What we're saying is, relationships, people get into relationships, and by the time you find good, you are so tainted by the bad relationships you've been in. It's kind of
hard. But that's an individual thing.
It's not. Because you have to understand today, more and more people are in more bad relationships leading up to a good one than they are in a good one that they stay in long lasting.
You have a lot of people that are able to read a person once they get into a relationship. They're able to determine what type of individual they're dealing with is, and they're able to stay in it or get out of it very quickly.
Today we have more relationships than we did before? I mean, we go through 5 or 10 people.
But what I'm talking about is you're in a romantic relationship.
You go through 10 to 20 romantic relationships.
Yes.
You're not walking into your you're not marrying your first love that you had a crush on in high school. You grow up and you get married to him by the age of 21. That's not happening today.
Mm-hmm. It depends on the individual. You do have people.
We're talking about the overall cumulative total of society today. Uh-huh. Who is of 50 and younger.
Wow. But Tracy, we have more choices also, and people who travel more.
What'd you say, Stanley?
I say people have more choices and travel and things like that, and people are not going to put up with things that they used to. Some women will not put up with. Some guys I know will break up with you if you disrespect them. You're gone.
That's what you won't put up with. You don't even know what you're getting into. And so when you talk about work inequality, Sticks, how old when you got married?
How old? 20.
That ain't happening right
now. My wife
now.
Was 19. We had our first child when she was 21.
That's not happening right now.
We
were done having children by the time we were 25.
We're
going to be married 30 years this year.
You're messing around with folks. What'd you say?
I want to ask her a question because you're saying she got married at 26, your wife and everything. How was she back in the day? Did she cook? Did she treat you well? How was the standard of women back in the day? How did they knew? What did
She treated me the same way that her mother treated her father and my mother treated my father.
Same culture.
Sticks, you did the same thing I did, but you're 10 years older.
Don't you think that was a certain kind of standard? There was a respect. Women respected
men. Stanley, how old are you?
35.
Okay. So I've got about 15 years on you. And what I'm saying is our quality has changed based on just our society.
Of course.
And so you're looking for somebody who's a little bit younger than you,
mm-hmm.
and you're looking for a woman who has standards of a generation older than you.
Yeah, I'm looking for somebody who respects men. I don't want to know nothing of a woman that hates men. If you hate a man, don't be in the dating pool, period.
But it's not a generational thing, Stanley, so much as it's a cultural thing. Our daughter is 24, I think she just turned this year. She got married last summer, and she treats her husband the same way her mother treats me. That's a cultural thing. That has nothing to do with economics or generations.
Well, it's economic.
And her husband treats her the same way I treat my wife.
It's cultural, and it's economical. How can you separate the culture from the generation, Tracy? You're right. They're one and the same.
And I will tell you, I will tell you this: in their case, both families are devout Christian,
but
which makes a difference.
But and that makes a huge difference. But when you look at society today, that's not the relationship that people are getting into, and nor are they doing it at a younger age. And I think some, I'm trying to find this woman, but she got beat up because she told women that they needed to find their mate while they were in college if they wanted to have children. And they about lost their mind.
But they're right.
And they are right. Because women are waiting too long to find a mate, and by the time they do figure this out, then their childbearing years are very, very nominal. Because
you and I had this discussion a while back. We had this discussion about people should be getting married younger, but they're not mature enough to get married. So you've got immature people getting married, and when they are finally mature enough, physically they're too old to be procreating.
Absolutely. And so when you look at so when you look at inequality, the women are not necessarily jumping up and down over money all the time. A lot of it is frustration because most of us are single.
Yeah, but
it's true.
The thing is, let's get back to the culture thing. We as a culture, we are pushing this permanent state of teenagerism or adolescence, permanent adolescence. We don't want our children to have to take responsibility for themselves at young ages. We want to keep them on their parents' insurance until they're 26. We're telling them you can't be an adult until you're 30. And the human physiology isn't made up like that. It's a proven fact. Women that have children at a younger age have fewer birth defects. But yet we're not teaching our men and our women that they need to be adults at 18 and 19 years old. The founding fathers were acting as adults at 12 and 13 years old.
And that's true. I mean, but because...
My father is 77. He had his first job at 8.
But our families, we were raised... People were raised for family. Now we're not raised for family. We're not raised for, you know, I will say feminism has gone too far because now we've replaced child rearing with work. So we don't take care of family, we don't take care of home, and we don't take care of children. But men are not working as they used to either, and women have taken over the workplace. And that's true too.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that we're equal in how we're respected and the equality, all things equal in the workplace because family is not equal anymore.
With the destruction of the industrial society, those traditional male jobs are getting fewer and fewer.
And when you go into a workplace, when you're dating, a man will ask you what you do before he asks you your name. As a woman. Because they don't want a woman who they feel is lazy, and if she's not working, she must be doing something wrong. Because they're looking for somebody who's making just as much money as they are, if not more.
I haven't dated in 30 years. I couldn't tell you the answer to that.
It is what it is.
I didn't ask.
But see, women wanted to marry up. I mean, now that women are making money, they want men to make the same or just as more. But back in the day, they wanted to marry up. I'm just saying, we all need to come together. Make money, have it. I'm saying sometimes a woman may make more money, the man may stay home. Some people say that, oh, that's a no-no. I'm just saying we have to have some balance here. You know,
ain't no balance.
Own, but they have to, exactly.
There's no balance. That's why we got kids go running like crazy. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Of the victims, the stabbings were before the start of this morning's classes. This afternoon, President Obama travels to Fort Hood, Texas. He'll offer his condolences after last week's shooting rampage. 4 people died, including the shooter. Russia's President Putin tightening the economic screws on neighboring Ukraine. The pro-Russian president in Ukraine was ousted last month after popular protests and then a vicious crackdown. Putin says Russia's state-owned gas company could ask Ukraine to pay for gas in advance. They hope to hear more ping. Searchers in the southern Indian Ocean, hundreds of miles west of Australia, listened to more sounds underwater yesterday. They think they could be from that missing Malaysian plane. You may remember him from the Olympics, Australian swimming legend Ian Thorpe.
Thorpe takes the semifinal.
Now he's suffering from a serious medical condition. It's an infection that some reports say is similar to a potentially MRSA infection received at a hospital. More from ABC News medical editor Dr. Richard Besser.
Hospitals are incredibly dangerous places. That's where the bad bugs live. One in 25 people who go into the hospital will pick up an infection, a lot of them from surgery.
Thorpe got the infection at a Swiss hospital. This is ABC News.
The gold American Eagle is the top-selling gold bullion coin in the world. Because the coin's value often moves independently of stocks and bonds, it's a great insurance policy for your portfolio. With just as little as 10% allocated to gold, your portfolio will be more secure and you'll feel more secure. Blanchard & Company is the premier authority in precious metals and rare coins investing. With an unmatched depth of experience, Blanchard helps you achieve sustained financial success. Blanchard takes great pride in earning a reputation for integrity, and with Blanchard, you'll have a dedicated and experienced advisor who will be an advocate for your best interest. To that end, Blanchard's commitment to you includes a 100% buyback guarantee to purchase your investment back at any time. Call 888-410-GOLD or go to BlanchardGold.com for your free precious metals report. That's 888-410-GOLD, 888-410-GOLD.
You may just love eating out at your favorite local restaurant, but a new report suggests there may be a hidden danger in the kitchen. ABC's Karen Chase explains.
It's the dark side of dining out.
Oh, my God.
It doubles your risk of contracting a foodborne illness.
That is foul.
Consumer watchdogs at the Center for Science and the Public Interest blame sketchy conditions at some commercial kitchens, like the ones in Chef Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmare.
Is the kitchen normally this filthy?
With so much traffic, they're harder to keep clean. And with extended serving hours, food is left out for longer.
The search or the review found that restaurants were the most frequent source of food-related illness outbreaks, sickening more than 28,000 people in the past decade. In addition, many food portions at restaurants come with more calories. The stock market higher today after gains yesterday. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Fit family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at Fit Family.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and it's 7 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock a.m. There's been a stabbing in a Pennsylvania school. Which part of Pennsylvania?
It's Pittsburgh, Monroeville.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Last number I heard was 20.
20 kids stabbed?
20 kids stabbed.
One knife.
One kid.
One kid?
One kid snuck a knife into high school and stabbed 20 kids before somebody got a hold of him, held him down, I guess.
No, wait a minute. How do you hold up? Now, wait a minute.
So now Eric Holder's going to be begging for knife control.
No, my question is, how do you stab 20 people before anybody knows that the people are getting stabbed?
I said that during the break.
OJ was good, but that was pretty. That kid's like got talent.
There's some in critical condition. So.
So how do you stamp? Not 20 people.
That's what it says.
That's not right.
Yeah.
There's no way. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic for the rest of the day. We were talking about gender inequality, and you can tell that we agree or disagree on this. Stanley's on the phone still. Philadelphia's still on the phone still, and so is Eric. I just think that, you know, I think they politicized this, and I don't think this is not a political issue.
Franklin Regional High School stabbing leaves 20 people injured.
How do the kids
stab
20
I hate kids? To be political about it, but I like to see what how the left going to spin this now.
Spin what?
There was no gun involved.
Two knives.
One kid?
Yep. 16-year-old male student is in custody. He said the school principal wrestled the subject to the ground after he ran through multiple classrooms and hallway, stabbing his victims with two knives.
How in
four
the
patients were airlifted. Three are being operated on. Majority of victims were 14 to 17-year-old students, and one adult, a male security guard, suffered a stomach wound.
How do you stab 20 people with two knives and one kid?
But what's happening in a lot of the public high schools is a lot of these kids are autistic, they have ADD, and they're being placed into general population schools.
They get, you want me to tell you,
and
you know,
they're not being diagnosed properly.
No, that's not
a lot of
wrong.
These kids are demon possessed because we've taken God out of the classroom and out of school, and they just gonna run them back. That's why.
And we as parents,
they're not separating
games,
them in the classroom. The kids that have special needs, they're not being separated.
No,
by
special needs ain't got nothing to do with this. We feed them. We buy them games that train them the same way we train the military, so we desensitize them to hurting people.
Right, but that also plays a factor in terms of the video games that they play. But what I'm saying is that you have kids that have mental issues that are being placed into the public schools.
These kids,
and they're being placed
into
the general population.
I was in high school, and a lot of people with mental issues,
are not separating them.
You can't have, you don't have mental issues. I mean, kids have mental issues and still don't stab people.
But you do have a lot of children in the public schools that have mental issues. They have all kinds of things going on at home.
Philadelphia.
And the psychologists and the administrators are not separating them in these public school classrooms.
I will not allow you to say that children who have mental issues are violent. It's not true.
I didn't say all of them were violent. I said that
No, we allow them to be violent. Because I know too many people with mental issues and bad behavioral health, and they're not mental. They don't have mental issues. They just need to be. They're like any other child. You've got to stop them before their bad habits actually produce and manifest. But
the administrators of the school system needs to do. They need to separate these children.
They don't need to be separated.
So that their special circumstances are being attended to.
Oh, I'm not having that conversation with you.
And
they need
not
to have control.
Disrupting the rest of the school.
They're not disrupting the rest of the school. They need to sit there behind them because they can. And if you don't treat them as they can, they will always go crazy. But the kids are not crazy. The kid does not have a mental issue, and all of a sudden at 16 he takes two knives and goes through several classrooms and stab people and then tell me he's crazy. No, he was crazy walking in the door. And there's an underlying issue, but it's not because he's slow and got ADD, ADHD, and can't sit in the classroom. Go ahead, private caller. Who's there?
No, Tracy, this is Mike. I'm just listening to y'all guys now.
I'm not going to fall for that. All right, we got kids out there, and, yeah, they have mental challenges, but that doesn't make them violent where they pick up knives and start killing people. It's our fault if they do.
Autism today, I mean, autism, practically one out of five children has some degree of autism today.
And you mean to tell me that because they have autism, they need to be isolated away?
I'm saying that they need to have special types of facilities to deal with children that have these special needs, that have any type of learning disabilities. The school system needs to be funded to the point where they're able to separate these children out of the neighborhood school, so that they don't disrupt the rest of the school from learning, and that's what's happening, and that's the reason why these schools are blowing up the way they are, because the people who are the administrators have not made an attempt to separate these kids.
Honey, listen.
Were the Columbine kids autistic?
Well, I can't answer that because I don't have all of their history in terms of their mental history in the past, so I can't make that type of determination. But what I'm saying is these incidents are increasing for a reason. The reason why they're increasing is because you have special needs kids in these neighborhood public schools, and these kids have not been separated from the general population.
You don't have to separate crazy. You just got to tell crazy to not be crazy. Go ahead, Eric. How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing good, Tracy. How you doing?
Hey, separate the kids. I don't think they ought to be tested on the same grade level, but I think, you know, I don't think they ought to be, you know, but we got to treat them with respect and dignity, and separating them out does not cause them not to be nonviolent. We got kids with are completely sane that are violent. Have you seen the statistics on the street lately?
Well, Tracy, I mean, they just came out with a report. They just said ADHD is on the rise. I mean, I heard that on Fox News.
It is, but that doesn't mean that you separate them out.
And that doesn't mean they're violent.
And not only that, I know kids with ADHD, and they get their behind whipped, and they still don't carry a knife around, you know, stabbing people in the room.
And that's the thing. I believe that we're diagnosing ADHD when it's not ADHD. It's just kids being kids, and if you turn them loose for a 45-minute recess in the morning and a 45-minute recess in the afternoon, you probably wouldn't have no ADHD anymore.
Not only that, we're not cultivating our baby.
You know, you bring
on,
back.
Hold on, go on, because we are at work.
Bring back 20-minute recesses in the morning, a 45-minute lunch, and a 20-minute recess in the afternoon, and you get rid of about 70% of the problems.
No, you wouldn't. They don't need recess. They need discipline.
And they also need to blow off steam.
But they need discipline. You can't blow off steam if you don't have discipline. Because discipline tells me that I cannot pick up anything and just start going crazy. And they don't have discipline.
Well,
discipline, I mean, mental children with mental disorders need discipline.
Right. But they need it more than most.
And we don't discipline
Obama says they're bored, Tracy.
And there's a difference between discipline
Obama
and force.
Obama says they're bored, Tracy. Obama says they're bored.
A lot of kids are bored.
In school.
That has a lot to do with it, too. But a lot has to do with discipline, because even when you're bored, you need to know how to control your emotions and control what's going on around you. And they're not doing that, and we don't teach it.
And they're bored because we don't give them anything to do when they're not in school.
It's up to the parents to do that.
So they're sitting in front of a video game.
And that's a problem.
No kid should have enough time to get in front of a television set till 7 p.m. Period.
But you got to have parents. And parents, and that's what, going back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show, you got to have parents. Well, if everybody's at work, who's parenting the kid?
Yeah, but you come from a single parent household. What kept you from picking up a gun?
Death could come early.
Death
didn't want to die.
You didn't go picking up no knives or guns.
Didn't want to die from the hand of mom, let alone because I shot myself. Didn't want to die. But again, I will say even coming from a single family home, it is imperative that you have it's meant to have two parents there.
Right.
It should not be upon the one. And what's happening is we are more concerned about money than we are about family.
Mm-hmm. Well,
have you ever heard the term latchkey kid?
Yeah, I was one.
Yeah.
Right. See, now, I'm one too. Haven't said that. This has been going on for years. That's all I wanted to say. That terminology, there's a reason why that terminology was meant.
I'm guessing, Tracy.
But the discipline was different.
But what I'm guessing is when your mom comes home, Tracy, your homework better be done.
Didn't matter.
The house better be clean.
Didn't matter.
Right.
Didn't matter. It ain't about what had to be done and what had to be cleaned.
But there was discipline in that house.
There was a fear. There was a healthy fear. There was a healthy fear that came. What I'm saying is we have families now, and my mom did not have to work two or three jobs. She came home.
Mm-hmm.
We have those that don't come home now. And a lot of it has to do with because we don't educate our populace, yet we send them to school for a number of years. And that is our fault as a society that we don't want to own up to. And if we say, that's somebody else's problem, then we are a liar.
Well, the whole society suffers from it.
But we need to understand that.
But we also need to know in our own houses what are our needs and what are our wants.
It's not about a need and a want.
Because you've got some families. I'm not going to say a majority or a non-majority, but you've got some families that could live on one income if they wanted to.
But the majority, you can't have the working population. Today, let me say it this way. Today, women are afraid to come home and be dependent on a man because you never know when that man's going to leave.
I don't think that's as prevalent as you say it is. I really don't. That's not my life experience.
We're not talking about rural America. You can't have a 51% divorce rate.
Exactly right.
You can't have a 51% divorce rate and me not have a fear of a man walking out of the house and leaving.
And how many? But of those 51%, how many are re-divorces?
No.
First-time marriages.
See,
but
you have to understand. We're fear. Would you say, Mike?
Is it also fear that these successful women are fearful for a man coming because they own property now, they have possessions, they really don't need a man, but fear that a man may come and rule and take over. So there's two sides to that coin.
But it's, even the rule and take over, the question is, I don't trust him enough to give him authority enough because I'm afraid that he will take that which I've worked so hard for, because remember, we're getting married with more now.
And what about control?
Women have always been had a problem with control. That's what's wrong with our families today. But again, that family unit is really messed up.
It's hard for anybody, a woman or a man, that you've built something, and you got you know, you stand on your own two feet, you own property, you build something, and if someone comes in your life and tries to tell you something, it's not going to work that way. Some women ain't going for that.
I mean,
you ain't
gonna
come
in the room
and
get a light and
say, right, exactly. So, you know.
I mean,
41%, Tracy.
Okay, 41% of first
divorce time. Rate in America for first marriage is 41%. Second marriage is 60%. Third marriage is 73%.
So can I say this again?
So if the first one don't work out, don't get remarried.
So can I say this again? Okay, you proved your point. I was 10 points off. But what I'm saying is the average is 51% in the church and out of the church.
Right.
So women are no longer giving that power over to anyone because you never know when he's going to come in and say, I'm done.
What about when she comes in and says she's done?
There's a difference.
I mean, I'd like to know out of that 41%, how many is the female instituting the divorce?
But the question is, if she's instituting it, what did the male do? Because you guys act like y'all don't cheat.
We don't.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
It's all your fault.
That's what's wrong.
She went there. She had to go there, didn't she?
I don't believe that for a minute.
He had to go there, didn't he?
I don't believe that for a minute. I was in the submarine force, believe me.
And
there's a whole lot more guys that deserve to get divorced than women.
And now they're getting divorced because women are no longer taking that. Now that I have a job, I've got my own money, and we are afraid to relinquish power. Some of us are afraid to relinquish power because of the family structure that we came out of.
Well, no, a third of America. Well, I mean, you just got some people who have different mindsets now. It's a different world. But a third of America is living single. So that goes about what you're saying. I mean, it's a problem out here. It's tough out here to be single. It's tough.
It's harder than people think.
Money with no money. A lot of people don't want no, with money or single because, you know, they don't want nobody to, they too, stuck up or vice versa.
We're number six on the planet, divorce rate.
Who?
United States. Russia's number one.
I don't understand that. They got enough issues. You do think they would stay together just because of the issues that they have. Hey, speaking of Russia, I've got a young lady that's going to come in tomorrow. We're going to talk about Russia a little bit tomorrow again. She's going to come in. Dr. Manny's going to stop by. Tomorrow, Dr. Mason's going to stop by. And who else I have? I have quite a few people coming in tomorrow.
We've got a full house.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a crazy day tomorrow. So you want to be here? It's going to be a fast ride. So it'll be a good ride, but it'll be a fast ride. So tune in tomorrow and listen to the conversation and join the conversation. You'll be surprised at what you hear, what you hear, and what you can talk about tomorrow. Hey, Matsu Malai, Mike, how are you?
Fine, thank you, Tracy. Okay, so what? Okay, so Russia's number one. We're number six.
That's tomorrow.
Who are the other nations?
Who are the other nations? Six.
Russia 1, Belarus number 2, Ukraine 3, Moldova 4, Cayman Islands 5, United States 6, number 7, Bermuda, number 8, Cuba, number 9, Lithuania, number 10, Czech Republic.
So as we become more and more socialistic in this country, our divorce rate seems to be going up then, because look, Russia.
Along with socialism comes atheism, so yeah.
Yeah.
We no longer value the family unit. Because socialism and communism don't value a family unit.
No.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And the Cayman Islands, I don't know much about their culture. I've been there, but I've never studied their culture.
Well, I think one of the reasons why the divorce rate in America is so high, because you have more of a materialistic culture, and a lot of marriages break up over money.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't see that in other parts of the developing world.
And that's,
it's
and
more
that's,
of two families coming together.
And that's why I think the Great Society, everybody argues about it, but I'm telling you, if you study the history, the Great Society is the great castration of the black family, because prior to that, black families had the lowest divorce rate in the United States of any demographic group. You folks that are African heritage, you guys were more stable families than the white families. You had lower divorce and everything all through the 20s, the 30s, the hard times. 40s,
but they had to stop that.
50s. Yeah,
Mike,
exactly.
They knew that. They had to stop that, and they don't understand that it was a plan to stop that because strong families bring strong communities, and they didn't want you to be that strong.
I understand. I understand totally, Tracy. And that's why, when some of the people come here, like some of the other people that you have here that are a little left on their points of view, they want to dismiss that actual fact. I would agree with them, everything about slavery being evil and white supremacy and all this nonsense. I would believe all of that except for the inconvenient fact of the truth. Black families were the most stable in America. They had the strongest religious values. They had the strongest family values and everything.
Well,
and that all ended
now
with the Great Society.
But consider this. The number one cause of divorce in the United States is money problems, and the number one cause of poverty in the United States is divorce.
Yeah.
So you destroy you create a materialistic society that gets itself in financial trouble, so you destroy the family, so you can put everybody in poverty so they're dependent upon the government.
Yeah, but even the black families hung together. I don't think anybody would think that the most affluent Americans were the black families all during the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, but yet they were the most cohesive, and it was because of their values. They stayed together. They toughed it out. And somebody was quoting yesterday that, you know, well, black unemployment. Black unemployment today is higher than it ever was. During those days, it wasn't so much about unemployment. There was a lot of black people employed in those days, but there was also a lot of black enterprise. So you can't just simply say how many black people had jobs. They had enterprise.
Oh my goodness!
But Mike, listen here. Let me say it this way. You are right in your statistics of how many people were working, but you are wrong in your thought, because remember, if I was working, I was working for someone else who I was definitely not getting paid to do the work that I did.
No, I understand it. I didn't say that you were.
And so hold on.
Wealthy,
no, listen.
But just
hold on. And they weren't working together. They were existing together because they had no choice.
Well, I can't speak to that.
I can. And that's what I'm saying. I can speak to this. And what I'm saying is, and when you gave me choice, then I no longer had to exist with you. And as long as I don't have to exist with you.
Yeah.
Then I can go believe that something else that I saw was better than what I had.
Yeah. Tracy, I've got to grab this call.
Okay.
But there's another dynamic to this too, that when I say that money problems is the number one cause of divorce, when you have a husband and wife that don't have enough money to make ends meet and are working together to try to make that money make ends meet, it's a whole lot different than when you have a husband and wife that have a lot of stuff, and they don't have enough money to pay for the stuff, and they're each going their own way.
Let me say this, Sticks, and I think this is where people fail to realize. Stuff is a manifestation of a symptom. When people have stuff, what they're trying to do is they're usually trying to hide their misery.
Right. I agree.
Okay. And so my poverty, my issues of what's going on in my day, I'm trying to buy stuff to cover it up because I'm having a hard time existing.
Right. It's a way to cover my anxiety.
My misery.
My inferiority complex.
My misery. Because people and as society grows, we are more miserable than ever before, and we've accumulated more stuff to hopefully make us feel good.
Right. Because we're being taught to believe that stuff will make us happy.
No, you're not taught to believe it. You're just the accumulation of the therapy of it.
No, every time you turn on the television, you have somebody telling you need stuff to make you feel better.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with that, but okay, I'll let y'all fly with it. I don't agree. I think that this. I don't think the stuff makes. Let me put it this way. You didn't have to turn on the TV to tell me that Calvin Klein was better. So what Calvin Klein did was say, the same dungarees that you have on, my dungarees are better.
Uh-huh.
They fit you better.
You had to be told that somewhere.
But you did not have you. The marketing of it was they told you that it was better, not better for you. When in actuality, they're all made in the same dungaree shop.
But we've changed our attitude as a society where my grandparents especially would buy quality over style. If my grandfather went to buy a pair of pants, the first question he asked was, how long are they going to last? He didn't care how they fit,
but
as long as they didn't fall off his backside. He wanted to know that he wasn't going to have to buy another pair of pants for a year and a half.
But in the workplace, you can't go in there and be shabby and get a job.
But what has happened in terms of the quality of American products has dramatically gone down. And
well,
that's the reason why most of the electronic appliances are made in Asia because of the quality that the Asians are able to manufacture better.
No, that's not why they're made overseas. They're made overseas because of regulations.
Taxes and regulations.
Well,
yeah,
but also, like in terms of television sets and in terms of computers, the quality of the way they're made in Japan is much better. Is much better than over here in America.
No, you can't make it here. The quality, it's not. America, RCA made the best TV.
Zenith.
And they made the best television, but regulations and work environments and labor costs caused it to go somewhere else because you would not be able to afford a television made in America if it was still made in America.
They claim that if an iPhone was made in the United States, it'd cost $5,000.
Absolutely.
Right. These countries only have quality because they've adopted American standards. When I was a kid, if it was made in Japan, it meant it was cheap and inferior.
Junk.
They had to prove. And it wasn't until they adopted American standards. And the standards they adopted were a quality control method. And the gentleman's name escapes me, but he was an engineer for Ford that set all this straight. And when he went to Japan when he was retired, he was seeing factories over there with his picture hanging on the wall because they adopted his standards. The U.S. They adopted the United States standards for quality and quality control. That's when the quality from foreign goods became good and acceptable. Up until then, if it was made in Japan, it meant it was cheap and junk. You're not old enough to speak to this.
I know those things. I read that. What you're talking about.
Reading a book is not the same.
Hold on, let me guys.
Cheap labor. What do you don't have to read a book?
That's why we're not.
It was more than cheap labor.
Right. That's one variable, though. Right.
No,
right.
It's not
higher quality.
It's not cheap labor either because if you ask any manufacturing CEO, Caterpillar, any of the big manufacturers, they're going to tell you the main reason that they choose where they're going to put a factory is taxes and regulation. And if you look, they're running studies. It's pennies. The labor cost is pennies difference between China and the United States when you figure in transportation costs.
But let me say this to you guys. Hold on. Listen, stop. You guys are talking about two different eras of the industrialization and the export and the transfer of goods. You have to realize when we started making TVs and electronics overseas, it was based on regulation, labor, and taxation.
And it still is.
No. Today is a little bit different because now they're finding that they can't get the quality. And so, Stanley, what Mike is saying, he's talking about when they first went.
I've seen studies that the American worker to this day is still more productive than any other worker on the planet.
That is correct.
That's true.
That's correct. But to pay that worker, the union wages you have to pay him is cost prohibitive.
I understand that.
That's right. But it's not.
Because the number one liability of the business is payroll.
You cannot make an iPhone in America.
That's right.
Why?
Taxes, regulation.
And
not labor.
It is labor.
It's not labor.
It is labor.
So you figure in the transportation cost to get that thing from there to here?
The labor cost
is minute.
It is labor.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I know people who work for these companies and they've run studies.
And
I'm telling you that it doesn't make sense to build a car in China. And
we're
ship it to the United States.
But we're not talking about a car.
It's taxes and regulation.
But what I'm saying about, we're talking about, when you talk about...
In fact, some of this stuff we can't build in the United States because of the regulation on the
environment. Listen, I'm not talking about the automotive industry. I'm talking about electronics.
Right.
A lot has to do with the labor.
And a lot of it you can't even build over here because of the EPA environment.
A lot has to do with the labor.
No.
You cannot build an iron in America, paying people $30 on the line.
Yes, you can.
And not make a $20 iron coming off the line.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
That's not what I'm seeing. Throw the transportation on it.
No, I didn't say. No, even if you put 20 of them in a box,
listen,
the reason why we have storeaway irons today We get an iron, the iron blows up. You can pay it to go to Walmart, got another $20 and buy another iron. It's because, not because of transportation, because of labor. You can't,
and
you
Tracy,
cannot
can
come out the line with $20. Yeah,
and Tracy, real quick, there is a move for us to manufacture more in America, and I agree. And with this new energy and stuff, if we're going to make them cheaper. But the catch of it now is the sales pitch is, listen, you may pay for more American-made products, but we'll just give them to you quicker. You still can give them cheaper. Hey, you had time, but they're still giving cheaper when they have to wait 3 weeks from coming overseas. It's still cheaper, man. Americans saying you have to pay more, but you just get your product quicker.
Listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. Hold on.
Yeah. Hey, Trace.
It's still cheaper.
Wow.
Yeah. And by the way, the guy that you were talking and you were waiting, you didn't know, it's Edward Demings. Demings that went to basically, like you said.
I couldn't remember his name, Stanley. Thank you.
Yeah, it was Edward Deming. So don't say that I don't know what you're talking about.
No, no,
but
I said you were too young. You didn't grow up in the culture when
I didn't grow up in it, but I read
about it. That's all I
But I read about it. But he said Deming. But Deming said that when he came to propose those things before he went to Japan, American people didn't even respect what he said. That's why he went to Japan.
I know. But
and
the ones
what
he
did to
produce the high quality. Yes, there was a whole story behind that. But
yeah,
because
Deming went to Ford, Ford and said, you need to do this, this, this. And they said, we're not doing this. Because Deming had the philosophy that basically saying, we're going to have everybody, we're going to make quality the best thing. That means we're going to make sure that we improve every year a little bit by little. And if we do that and we have the best quality every year, we will become the best company.
Yeah, and not only that, but by improving quality, Deming's proved that when you improve quality, you do cut costs.
Yes,
because to repair shoddiness and the brand damage and everything else is far more expensive than maintaining quality.
Yeah,
well, that's a sales pitch. Well, that goes on the sales pitch now.
Yeah,
that's
and it's not as simple as labor anymore. It is everything. I'm looking at Jack Welch's. Jack Welch sold off the GE small appliance division. They referred to it as their sheet metal folding division as being very derisive toward it. And the reason they sold it off was because Jack Welch realized that it produced less than 7% of their bottom line profit. Not 7% profit for GE, just 7% of the profit, which took 80% of the company's resources to manufacture the irons and toasters and washing machines and the small, the appliances. And when they say 80% of the resources, it wasn't just labor costs. It was capital, it was warehousing, it was transportation, it was everything. 80% of GE's global resources went into something that was only producing 7% of their revenue. And they said it was ridiculous. And that's when we started GE Capital and changed it and morphed it into the company it became in later years. But
So what do you think about this natural gas? Do you think if that natural gas, it would bring manufacturing prices down if we have more,
Sure.
Anything
that cuts the cost of energy will bring manufacturing costs down because energy is a big part. At one time, energy was incidental, but it's not an incidental line item anymore. It's huge. It's up there.
Because it makes the machines run. Right, because it makes them run.
Well, it isn't
right,
just
so that
it
means that we can sell our products cheaper.
It isn't that it just makes the machines run. It makes the machine. Because that machine is made
Right, to make the moving parts, it's like steel, gotcha, so it all works.
Yeah.
So,
and then
do that, we can be more cheaper.
Yeah, and
because economics is global. I mean, you gotta sell your product around the world, especially with the internet shit now.
Yeah, and Tracy is wrong, it's not just labor. It's everything fits together now because everything has gotten expensive. At one time, it was labor. But here's what it's also about, and these are actual, this is not my theory or just theory. The Master Lock company that makes the big padlocks, they have moved their entire operation over the last 2 years back to the United States because it's cheaper to manufacture here than it is to ship it. And because padlocks are kind of a heavy item. And with the overseas labor costs going up, and the cost of transportation, and most of the cost of transportation is the energy cost. You know, when you could
well,
push,
if most
when you
of their clients,
push, Yeah, when you could put a number two petroleum oil into the belly of a tanker to fire the boilers or a cargo ship, and it was only, 60 cents a gallon. Now that it's $3 a gallon, that's a whole different economic, to bring that cargo
right
here.
But speaking of manufacturing in the black community real quick, that's the direct descendant that's still struggling us after the Civil War and after, during the Industrial Civilization. We weren't on assembly lines that kept us out of manufacturing and actually building those machines. Mm-hmm. We don't manufacture anything, and that's a direct descent from slavery. I mean, what do we do? I mean, we don't even have a natural resource or land that we can actually do that. So all of that was a generation, and I'm sorry, you can just see that today, the effects of that. The not including that. I understand that we can have jobs, but where do I get my products? That's real wealth. That's real generational wealth. When you're able to have something, a natural resource, that's money, actually. I mean, because all this, digital stuff, but natural resources, us putting our work and sweat, that's actually money. And we don't have no natural resources where we can take and sell around the world, which is unfortunate, but, Because all my systems that I have in my systems, all my embedded systems, are not, none of the companies is from somebody with my skin color.
Yeah, but even in the white
nothing
community,
that I wear.
But even in the white community, most white people don't have any of those kind of resources either. It's an elite
right.
few from a certain demographic, global demographic. That really controls all that stuff. It isn't the average person doesn't have that. But you see, the fact that you're even aware of
it. No, well, I'm talking about American resources, though.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about American resources on this land, on this soil right now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of resources that we're selling around the world in manufacturing.
Well, I had this discussion this morning. I was on a radio talk show, and the discussion was about, just certain things are a matter of national security. General Wes Clark says energy is a matter of national security, and that's why we've got to get away from foreign dependent for any energy because and start producing our own because then we're more secure. But I go beyond that because we need to bring manufacturing back here. We have almost no steel production in this country anymore. Most of it is resalvaged steel that we produce, and of course you can't build high-grade stuff out of that, and we do have specialty designer steels for super, super things, but those are small. Those aren't made by the millions of tons. Those are made by a couple of tons a day and something, and that's it. But, during World War II, when you look at our industrial output, how the United States, and I don't mean combat-wise, I'm not talking about manpower on the line when I say the phrase, we won World War II for the world. We didn't win it because of our soldiers, necessarily. I mean, we did a fair amount of fighting, but a lot of countries put blood into it. It was the fact that we could outproduce the Germans and we could supply the armies of the world with most of what they needed because we had such great industrial capacity. When you think World War II for us started on December 7th, 1941, with Pearl Harbor being attacked, and it was over by August of 1945, that war didn't even last 4 years. And look at
and plus the
output.
Time period that we got ready to, I think there was that awe at the short period of time that we got everything together, building all those ships, building all that stuff. That was a short
exactly.
period of
time. It was amazing how we shut down production for cars and toasters and things like that and immediately switches to airplanes and tanks and jeeps and uniforms and bullets and guns and hats and shoes and whatever they needed we produced. We couldn't do that today if our life depended on it.
Well, we was on one mission. Everybody was scared. Everyone was in a sense of togetherness on a mission. So,
yeah,
I mean,
we had
you can't
the resources.
Stop human beings to do that.
If we all agreed tomorrow that that's what we should do, we still couldn't do it today because we don't have the resources anymore. And worse than that, Mike, what's happening? We're losing the old-timers that knew how to do that stuff. We don't have the toolmaker apprentice programs and everything. If we had all the steel in the world tomorrow, we still wouldn't know what to do with it because we've lost a lot of the people that know how to turn that into tools.
Yep. But I don't think it would work also because we're more individual in our generation compared to them. People were ready to die for their country. Try to tell that to Americans now. I'm not ready to do that.
They're not generic. Most Americans are not prepared to go to work for their country, let alone die for it.
347-945-5229. Sticks and I, we're having a major conversation because Sticks is telling me that their TVs are made in America. And we've been fighting during the break. And I told him to name these one, and he told me Olivia. Who is Olivia?
O-L-E-V-I-A.
But, But
and
also, I
Olivia?
Think that the...
They had a little bit of... Who is Olivia? Anybody out here got an Olivia TV?
No, I've never heard of that brand.
Anybody got an Olivia TV out there? I ain't seen an Olivia TV. Where
that's
you
probably
got
sold in Target or Walmart.
No, they ain't seen sold in Target or Walmart.
They were sold. I was looking at a Popular Mechanics article said they were sold at Circuit City, but there ain't no more Circuit City, so.
So
I'm looking to see.
There's a product catalog. So, anybody seen
where
that
to buy? Where to buy?
Where to buy?
But one of the reasons why
hold on, Philadelphia. Wait a minute. It says where to buy. It says Hong Kong and Asia Pacific.
So we're building TVs in the United States and sending them overseas.
TV in America.
Six, do you know about the Thomas Registers?
Hong Kong, it says House of China, South China House of Technology.
Okay.
There's
an encyclopedia of American manufacturing. It's called the Thomas Registers. Anything you want to know what's made in America, you can go look it up in there, and it'll tell you who makes it and where you get it and how you get in touch with them.
But, Tracy, didn't we just have to tell the Olympics, the polo, to make our stuff in the USA? See, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, right. So, I mean,
yeah.
You can't. One, American workers ain't going to sit down at a sweatshop all day long with no air and sew all day long.
Practically,
if you're dealing with electronics, practically all the electronics are made in Asia, from cell phones to computers to laptops. The TVs, it's all made in Asia. Even if you're dealing with a company that probably has a headquarters here, the components of the computer are going to be made over in Asia.
I'm just grateful they haven't set making love overseas.
They have.
I mean, so if you're talking about a company like Apple Computers or HP or something like that that probably has an American headquarters, their components and their chips are all made over in Asia.
In terms of their motherboards
and everything else.
I hate to bust America's bubble, but, you know, you can't build a widget in America anymore.
Well, Master Padlock brought all their
foreign
operations.
We can't afford to pay the maintenance man who – it's just amazing.
Well – one of the problems with American labor is the labor unions have basically destroyed the manufacturing sector here. That's the reason why all these states want to transfer over to right-to-work states. They want to break the unions. You know, that's what happened in the Midwest.
It's going to have to be, as a business person, it's going to have to be a combination of sales and marketing, like Mike was saying.
I mean, the state of Wisconsin did that. Scott Walker, that's what he did.
Master Padlock Company, Tracy, brought home all their foreign manufacturing over the last 2 years because it's cheaper to make the padlocks here in the United States again. And Master Padlocks are now made in the United States again.
I believe that.
You see, they're not a regulated industry. Say
some is regulated, but some is labor. It all depends on what it is.
And you got to remember, too, a lot of this electronic stuff, the chemicals they use are awful nasty, and the regulation we have here in the United States to deal with the chemicals.
But a lot of it has just the simple to do with just straight-up labor.
That's why we don't recycle batteries in the United States.
And the things that are going on right now, if you want to know the truth about it, the companies that are coming here are coming back, and they are robotic.
Yeah.
Caterpillar.
Go out. Caterpillar has no robotics inside of their manufacturing plant.
Not as much as you might think.
Well, Delphi has a whole lot of robotics. It's really amazing. Their plant is nothing. The people that used to carry the carts, to carry the harnesses, they're all robots now.
Same way with Twinsburg, the stamping plant.
So
Twinsburg, they've got forklifts that run on. Run all by their lonesome.
So now you come back home and you think that you have something, but all you have is
a robot. So, yeah, they're coming home, but the job's not coming home with them.
But it creates
so what good
new
is
jobs.
Coming home?
But it creates new jobs that are higher skill, and that's why education is everything, because somebody
right,
has
and
to maintain those robots.
Right.
But
right.
You know what,
see,
Mike?
In programming, but see, in pro, yes, you're going to need people to program it and manage and moving parts break and stuff like that. So you're going to have to need – so sometimes we have to know when we get to – we have to create jobs along the way. We have to be
but
a
you know
human
what,
being
Mike,
and be
you
creative.
Know, this is what I'm – I don't – I agree with
we're
you.
We're making more money.
But some – but you have to understand you're taking – you're right. You have to have a better education, and it's true. But when you go from – I mean, if you look at our Lordstown plant where you're out of General Motors, and I think they're down to maybe 3,500 people, uh-huh. and their productivity is higher. A lot of it has to do with robotics.
Well, yeah. That's true. Because,
and your skill level is higher, yes, but the job that you used to have that required a good skill then is no longer there. And as we become more and more technically inclined, less people are needed.
Because more people have to build that technology. These robots have to be built. There's actually more jobs available today because of robotics than there were taken away.
And you can't,
because it's created
the
new
days
industry.
When you can graduate high school or quit school in the eighth grade and go hang wheels
are gone. Those days are gone, but I'm talking about just the simple, if you go to the grocery store and you ask how many people were they employed at one time and how many people they employ now, the number has decreased
drastically.
Well,
yeah, that's because you keep raising the minimum wage and they can't afford to hire those people.
No.
Well, that's because
no.
you want cheap, affordable
no. you
want to
talk
food.
To
they
the
have
grocers?
Enough
cost. No. I mean,
why do you think you're carrying your own bags to the car now?
Six. But let me say like,
because
let me
they can't hire a kid at $3 an hour to
six.
Do it for you.
I think we're saying the same thing, but what I'm saying is the clerks, I go through the self-checkout.
Right.
So where they used to have 12 clerks going down the row,
right.
they only have three, and they have
and, when you keep, right.
and they have nine self checkouts, and there's a ton of us mm-hmm. who like going to the self checkout.
And if you keep and the thing is we keep artificially inflating the cost of labor, there's going to be more automation.
Well, that may be.
It doesn't. If I can hire a cashier at $3 an hour, it doesn't make sense to invest $100 million in a self checkout.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
It does. Why doesn't it? If people aren't going to stop investing
well,
in self-checkouts because you've got employees.
Right. They don't look at
what do you say,
Mike? They're going to look at the long run.
Right. Most of the robotics have actually cut costs, not of just manufacturing, but of injuries and everything else because it's repetitive.
There's no workman's comp. There's no
motion. It's repetitive motion and hazardous stuff that the robots perform, saving a lot of back-end costs for disability claims and everything, too. A robot doesn't get disabled.
That's true, too. But also by artificially increasing the cost of labor, you take out the people who can offer niche services that people will pay for.
Mm-hmm.
The grocery store my daughter used to work at still had home delivery. And you raise the price of labor to where they can't afford to operate that to operate that anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah,
there's probably 25 jobs there that are gone just because you've artificially increased the cost of labor
to where they couldn't
compete with Walmart.
But
anymore.
It's multi
because they had a niche where they could compete with Walmart.
It's multifaceted.
But
when it comes to actually building stuff overseas and like computers and electronics. A lot of it has to do with labor. Tons of
yes.
it.
Yes.
I'd
and,
say it's probably 40% labor.
And also
40%
China,
labor, 60%.
They don't have any.
You're making our point, I think. You're making our point. We'll go back to the labor cost.
But also in a country like China,
it.
You don't have protection of the workers. You don't have OSHA or anything else to protect
right.
people. If they get injured, that's it. I mean,
yeah.
they lose their job.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the Chinese workers...
No unemployment tax.
Right. The Chinese workers have to work up to 16 hours a day. They don't have 8-hour shifts. I mean, they have to work...
It all depends.
I worked like that all the way through the 80s and 90s.
Again, but they can't...
Forced.
They can't,
with a union contract, I might add.
They can't do that now.
Yes, they can.
No, they can't.
I guarantee you,
there's
union contracts
day,
in this valley that say that you will work until you're told to go home.
You got good overtime in that. You got
depending
good overtime.
Depending upon what your job title is.
That was looking good.
Because I walked in, we'd have a breakdown, and the boss would say, nobody leaves till it's fixed. And according to the contract, you couldn't leave.
I can't speak to that. All I know is it doesn't happen often because unions.
I worked a 32-hour shift once.
But I'm saying 30, you might have been, I don't think they'll let you do that.
That check was looking good, Sticks, you know it. That's all we're saying.
Yeah, that check was looking good at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, I like that overtime.
Exactly. That's what
but now, I don't think they can do that now.
I bet you they can.
I bet you they can't. Not for labor.
I don't care. Been that long
I don't care if it's 10 years ago. I don't think they can. I don't think they can because you're looking at sleep deprivation unless you're and even I mean there's so many rules now. I mean you get 10 days on, 2 days off, all that kind of stuff because people can't deal with heavy equipment if they have been sleep deprived. You just can't make people work 30 some hours straight.
I bet you can.
You go find me a contract. Anybody. I don't think that's in there. They've negotiated that out. The same way that they don't have 13 weeks of vacation anymore. That should have never been.
Only way you can do that is in the military.
Last time I worked in a shop.
What did you say?
The only way you can do that in this country is in the military, I think, and get away with it.
No, they
yeah.
have to get out of the cards in the military.
I got a friend that does heating and refrigeration, commercial refrigeration. He has 80-hour weeks.
But that's not mandatory 80-hour weeks. He works 80 hours. He likes that check.
No, it's mandatory.
What do you mean it's mandatory? 80-hour weeks and it's mandatory?
Yep.
No union.
Yeah.
No.
Sheet Metal Workers Union.
And it's mandatory?
If things are broke, he has to be there. Absolutely.
I got to see that. I just don't see it.
And this is the difference between
80-hour week, and he's in a union job,
yeah.
And it's mandatory.
Yep.
And they can do that ongoing until they say quit.
He's on call. If he's on call, he works whatever hours he has to work. Absolutely. And he gets 80-hour weeks when he's on call. In fact, I've seen him work 30 hours straight because it's one call to the next call to the next call, and he works right out of the sheet metal workers' hall right here in Youngstown.
I don't believe that. I don't believe it because he's dealing with things that can cause him danger.
Coolers,
absolutely not.
Absolutely.
And they haven't said anything about it.
Because that's the way the contract's written.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it was mandatory because if he gets hurt on the job, they're coming after everybody.
If he's on call, that's what it is.
Doesn't matter.
He's on call.
The interns, they work 80, 90 hours a week. They're on call. It's all part of becoming a doctor. Why do you think they make so many stupid medical mistakes?
I think we got to. Y'all got to prove. Wait a minute. You guys got to prove to me that they're working those hours straight. There's no way.
Lawsuit.
I'm out of here. No,
he's not saying he works the 80 hours straight. He says he has to get 80 hours a weekend. That isn't straight. I mean, he gets a two-hour nap now and then. I guess they're off. The show's over.
Damn, they're idiots.
I'm sorry. Tracy hasn't. No. Six is right. I used to work for two companies that were sister companies. One was a printing plant that did comic books and flyers and stuff and TV guides, and the other was a newspaper. And I have worked 57 hours straight. I went in 7 o'clock one Wednesday night, and the places were about a quarter mile apart, and when my shift was over, I walked over to the other place, and I kept that going till 4 a.m. on Saturday morning when I couldn't take it anymore and just had to get some sleep. I worked 57 hours straight. And these were union places. When you work, you work. They tell you, you work, or you lose your job. And the union supported that. And 80 hours a week, most people I know who are surviving right now that are self-employed aren't working less than 60 hours a week. It's the only way you're going to put food on the table in this economy. 80 hours is normal. My wife said to me, said, are you ever going to retire? I said, probably not, but probably when I get to be about 85, I'll slow down a little and cut back to 60 hours a week. You know, I don't know. People want to argue about stuff that I hate opinion arguments. That's why, in a way, both Stanley and I and a few of the other people on this line differ about opinions. I like the fact that at least you're talking to somebody educated who's done some research.
Yeah. The only thing I wanted to say, thing I wanted to say was that you had mentioned people who are like interns and people who are commercial pilots, and there's a lot of regulation on how many hours straight people who are in those types of jobs can work.
Well, that's
because they don't want people to be sleep deprived,
and
that would affect the quality of what they're doing.
But when you're serving a residency as a doctor, you're on call, and it's 100 hours a week.
But the difference is that they actually have stations in the hospital that the residents can go and sleep, and they're not working those amount of hours straight. Majority of them are allowed to take naps in between. They're allowed to take naps in between. And also when it comes to a commercial pilot, they used to make commercial pilots fly those very long shifts, but they stopped doing that because they didn't want any person to get into an accident or to have problems in terms of the operation of the plane. So what I'm saying is they have changed in terms of regulations that they allow for certain professions. They don't allow people to work.
Nobody is saying that they
long
work
hours,
hours
like that, 16, 18 hours straight. People have to take some type of break in between all of that.
Yes,
and
the labor laws in most states are it's a 15-minute break every 4 hours. That's why you get a half-hour lunch and an 8-hour shift.
Saying is you don't see people working 18, 19 hours straight in any profession in America because they don't want people to be sleep-deprived and they don't want the quality of the work to go down. So a person has to take if they're working those type of hours, they have to at least take a 2-hour nap
Well, what we used to do was in the
or something along those lines. But they're not allowed to go straight like that.
But when the press went down in the printing plant where I used to work, what we would do is we all had a piece of clean cardboard and we'd throw it down on the floor. And for the 15 or 20 minutes the press would be down, we learned how to go to sleep, almost like in combat where you could be asleep while you're walking, you know, marching. Guys did that during World War II. They were walking, marching while they were asleep to catch up on their sleep. But, I mean, we got so good that we could throw
But what has changed in the modern workplace is they have a higher level of all types of regulation where, you know, you have people coming from the federal government that are going to check out the workplace to make sure that people are
doing things properly
and so forth. So those types of situations don't exist as much as they did in the past.
Yeah, but if you have an on-call job, you're on call. And see, that's
if you have an on-call job, but the only thing I'm saying is that the way the hospital works now is those the individuals that work there, they're not allowed to work 18, 19 hours straight. It's almost mandatory. They have to take 2-hour breaks if they're working those types of shifts.
Yeah, but you still put the time in is what we're saying. Because there's only 168 hours.
Well,
a week.
Yeah,
if you end up working 100 hours
in,
a week,
but
I don't care how much you're tired. You know, if you're working 100
you
hours a week, you're tired. I don't care how many breaks they give you. You're tired. You can't
let me
set
ask
up
some
for
questions.
2 years.
Listen, I mean, real quick, Mike, you as a project manager, and you have a project and you need 24-hour, you're going to be working 24 hours, building your project, you're building whatever. You mean to tell me you're not going to structure and have a proposal where you're going to hire enough men or women to have certain shifts and you're not going to be worrying about, you know, their tiring, you know, being tired at the job?
Yes, under ideal situations you tried to build it that way. But what happens is there are times in all businesses you just get jammed up. You're not going
to
hire
a
whole bunch of strangers to train them just to get them
to
the next
day. Now, hold on. Now, I haven't said that. Now, once you go through the project, having gone for seeing unforeseen things happen, you may have to come up on shifts. But come on, man. You know you're going to be worrying about getting those guys, right?
But also, if you're dealing with project-based work, it's based on the amount of work you can do.
You don't want them to be hiring.
If a person is earning a salary, they're not punching the clock, whereas if you're working in a hospital, you're actually working a certain number of hours, and somebody is able to calculate the number of hours you're working. But if you're working for a company and you have a salary and they give you a project to do, if if you're not able to finish the amount of work at the office, then you have to go home and you probably have to do some more work.
Yep.
And so,
see,
I mean,
when my wife works at the hospital and she was on call, I used to hate that because we had no private life because she had to be, this is before cell phones, you know, were so prevalent. She had to be near a telephone so they could reach her just in case they needed her. She got no extra pay for that, but she had to be on call so many hours a month. And I always thought that was unfair because then, you know, it would always be on a weekend or a holiday or something.
Yeah.
But there were certain times when she wasn't.
So you definitely have to distinguish between people who are working, like in terms of hourly work, and people who are working in terms of project-based work is completely different. People who work project-based work, you know, their whole goal is to complete that project, and they're going to work the number of hours to do that. But if someone is able to calculate the number of hours you're working, they have to allow certain breaks in between. They can't work someone 18 hours straight and somebody is able to calculate those hours.
All projects,
yes, they
all
let you
projects.
They let you go to the bathroom. They let you eat lunch. But when you're working a double shift, it's as if you are two people working a single shift. They
but even if somebody's working
break.
A double shift, if
but you,
even if you're
your
working a double
break,
shift,
but you're not gonna
if
get
someone
a
is able to calculate the number of hours that you're working, they have to allow a certain number of breaks in between.
15 minutes
and
every
this all goes back
hours.
To what the labor laws are now in terms of OSHA and in terms of the Labor Department and so forth. They have to allow a certain number of breaks in between. They can't work someone in terms of a double shift going 16 hours straight and no breaks there. They can't
break.
Do things like that anymore.
You get your lunch break. You get two lunch breaks. Is it
no, well, but... No,
they're not
going to
let you take a two-hour nap in the middle and shut down production.
But even if somebody's working an eight-hour shift, they're going to get a lunch break. If somebody's doing 16 hours,
they get two
that person
lunch
is
break.
Going to get more than a lunch break.
They get two lunch breaks. It's as if they worked. As if they were two people working one shift.
They would get if somebody's doing 16 hours, they're going to get two lunch breaks, and they're probably going to get a 45-minute break.
There's no 45
like
minutes.
The
no,
seventh
no,
hour.
No,
no
some
no.
people might – no, listen, this is how it works. If you get an hour rest, so some people get a 30-minute lunch and two 15-minute breaks. That's when some in corporate world, if you're working to something like that, on salary, things of that nature.
But by the
and
labor
it,
laws,
and it's vice
states
versa.
That I have worked in most of my life, it's 15
vice
minutes
versa.
Every 4 hours. That's what they have to give you. That's why they give you a half-hour lunch, because they put the two together. Now, if you have to go to the bathroom or something, they're going to be reasonable. But if you go to the bathroom for 45 minutes and you're doing that four times a day, they're going to question that.
Right, but the only thing I'm saying, if you're dealing with a nurse or a doctor at a hospital, what I'm saying is they're not allowed to work them 18, 19 hours straight anymore.
They have.
I mean, they've changed
well,
that.
I don't know because... I will ask.
I
have family members who are currently
I mean,
going through residency.
They've changed those types of rules because they don't want people to be sleep deprived. They don't want mistakes to happen because they found that people start making mistakes if they haven't had enough sleep and if they're working those types of hours.
They don't care.
And then that opens the hospital up
to
lawsuits if people are making too many mistakes.
Some people
work. Instead of us debating it, go ask somebody who's doing a medical residency. It hasn't changed.
No.
They have a cot in a little room somewhere, and if they can steal away for an hour, they'll catch up. But it's not uncommon for them to be on call 24 hours and most of that time being standing next to a patient. It's the dirty truth about that profession.
But there's a difference between being on call and actually working 18 hours straight. That's a difference.
You're not listening.
Because
I said most of the time they're
because
standing
if a person
next to a
is
patient.
On call, a person does not have to be in the hospital.
But they're on call.
I mean, you can be near
the
hospital,
the
and if you have a
minutes,
cell phone or pager, somebody can page you to come back to the hospital.
They are standing next to a patient's bed most of the 24 hours. They could steal away for a little bit to a cot somewhere,
but not all of
call.
Them are standing next to a patient's bed. They actually have rooms where they can go to sleep inside
the
hospital.
No, you're not listening. When they're working with a patient, they're standing next to their bed. That's most of the 24 hours. They might be
but
able
they're
to
not
steal away
next
for an hour or two and get a nap,
24 hours.
But they will work them 24 hours straight. It's the unwritten
but
dirty
what,
secret
what
of that
I,
business.
But what I said, sir, is they have rooms in the hospital where they go to sleep.
Yes,
Yes, I understand that, but they don't get 8 hours there because they're on call. They get interrupted
but
after a half an hour.
But being on call
is
not the same thing as working 18 hours straight, sir. That's what I'm trying to explain to
you.
Do you
work in the medical profession? Do you have any family members? I have 4 doctors in my family. Let's call one of them now and ask them. You're guessing. I'm telling you the way I know it to be from talking to real people who do that work. You're guessing.
Sir, first of all, you happen to be assuming too much.
This
because
is
I'm giving you information based upon people that I
opinion, but they don't
based
have
upon
to ask
people that I know
knows.
Who also work in the medical profession as well. I'm giving you factual information based upon people who I know who work in the medical jobs as well. And what I'm saying to you is those types of stipulations are not the case anymore. People are not going 16 and 18 hours at a time. And being on call is not the same thing as working 18 hours straight in a hospital. That's not the case. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Mike, you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I see what you're saying. He was talking about, you were saying that they were actually not going to do the manual work. So basically what you're trying to say is even though they may be at the hospital, they have a room to sleep in, and they're not actually
right.
going to be doing 18 hours of manual labor straight.
See,
they're going to have breaks to sleep.
Right.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Right. See, in the past, when a person graduated from medical school, they went into an internship. When they were in an internship for a year, they had to do shifts where they would go like 36 hours. Right, where they would be like 3 days in the hospital seeing patients. But what they found is that if they allowed someone to work 18 hours straight and they were on a 36-hour shift, it was a lot of mistakes were being made. So, therefore, for the hospital to break that up, what they do now is they're able to rotate people better, and at the most, a person who's a resident is not doing more than 12 or 13 hours at a time straight. And if they're on call, they have special bedrooms inside the hospital for them to go to sleep. They have to take breaks. They have to take mandatory breaks for a certain period of time, and then they're called back. But it's not the same way as it was in the past. And the information I'm giving you is factual. So I don't know where this guy's information is coming from, but I'm giving you information from people who work at academic types of medical centers where they're doing the cutting-edge treatment and research. So I don't know where this guy's getting his information from. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, so I don't know where he's getting his information from, but I'm giving you information from people who work at places like Johns Hopkins and Penn and, you know, like different places like that, people who work at academic types of medical centers. That's where I'm getting my information from. I'm not talking about, like, the county hospital out in the sticks somewhere. I'm talking about where people go to, like, teaching hospitals. Here, you have, like, 5 different medical schools here in Philadelphia. You have Drexel, mm-hmm. University of Penn, Hahnemann, Temple, and I'm giving you information based upon people who I know who work at those places and the way it's done now. So I don't have to go back to, you know, this guy's talking about he's got family members. And I'm giving you the complete factual information. But see, on this show, the host, she likes to cut people off if she doesn't agree with what you're saying. You know what I mean? I don't get that. So I guess the show is over.
Yeah, man. But
right.
I don't know if Mike is still on the line. Okay, guys.
All right. Later.